I'm doing great.
Hey, who else joined us?
Bart and Bruce from Boston 911 Truth.
Welcome back, Bart. How you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Hey, Tim, is it star 6 to mute the phone?
I'm sorry?
Is it star 6 that I use to mute?
Yes, to mute and to unmute, both. Right, star 6.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. So we have 4 callers so far, and we're waiting for the others to join us. Hopefully the others will come early, too, so we can get started soon tonight. We've got a really, 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 really big shoe tonight, so we need to get rolling pretty quickly here. Hi, who else joined us?
Hello. It's Elizabeth Woodward here.
Well, Elizabeth, welcome. This is Ken Freeland. There's about 6 others on the call right now, but I'm sure a few others will be joining us momentarily.
Thank
and who
you.
Else joined us besides Elizabeth?
Dwayne.
Dwayne, welcome, Dwayne.
Who? Sorry?
Dwayne Deese.
Dwayne,
there.
Hi, Dwayne. Dwayne.
Huh?
Hello.
Is that Elizabeth?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. How many other people are on the line?
There are 5 on the other, 5 others besides yourself, 6 now.
Okay.
Hi, who just joined us?
This is Craig.
Oh, Craig, there you go. Well, why don't you start taking a preliminary roll call, Craig, and we'll get started here pretty quickly. There's about 6, 7, or 8 people on the line already.
Okay.
So far we have Barton Boyce, we have Dwayne Deets, we have Elizabeth Woodward. Oh, boy, whoever's got that background noise, please press star 6. There's a lot of background noise. Star 6 if you have a kid talking in the background. Thank you. Okay, we have, let's see, Dwayne Deets, Elizabeth Woodward, Barton Boyce.
Bruce.
Excuse me, there's another friend of mine. And Barry Zwicker's here. And who else is here? Adam Ruff is here.
Adam Ruff.
Okay.
Dennis McMahon is here first time.
Hi.
Oh, what's your name again, please?
Dennis McMahon.
Dennis
McMahon.
Got it.
Okay. All right. And who else just joined us?
Cheryl Curtis.
Barbara Honegger on the call.
Hi, Barbara. Welcome. Okay.
Mike Tulupko, Boston 911 Truth on the call.
Did you get Cheryl Curtis, Connecticut 911 Truth?
Craig? Cheryl Curtis?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, and who is the Philip?
Frank Tulupko, Berkshire 911 Truth.
Okay, thank you.
Lorenzo is also here.
Lorenzo, okay. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Paul Zaremka.
Paul Zaremka. Okay, Craig, you want to call the roll of the people you have, and whoever you don't have can pipe up, and then we'll get going, okay?
Okay. I have Dwayne Deets, Ken Freeland, Craig McKee, Elizabeth Woodworth, Martin Bruce, Barry Zwicker, Adam Ruff, Dennis McMahon, Barbara Honegger, Frank Tulupko, Cheryl Curtis, Lorenzo Fine, Paul Zaremka.
Hi, who just joined the call?
George Ripley.
George Ripley. Okay, thank you, George. Okay, so with that, thank you all for coming a little I'm sorry?
No, I just said, did I miss anyone else?
Oh, did anybody not get their name called when Craig called
I'm
the
not missed. I'm not missed, but it's Barton Bruce, not whatever you had. You had a different first letter. B.
Oh, okay. Why don't you spell it for me just to be on the safe side?
B-A-R-T-O-N, and the last name is Bruce, B-R-U-C-E.
Barton. Got it.
It's
do you have a particular... Okay. Do you have a particular group affiliation you want us to list?
Well, certainly Boston 911 Truth, but I'm also on an 8911 Truth cable access team for years, so whatever.
Okay. Great.
Great. Okay, well, thank you all for coming early tonight, because we do have a very extensive agenda tonight, and it's going to take all of our time, if we're lucky, to get through it. So let's start with the first item, which is the approval of our July teleconference minutes as circulated by Craig. Are there any amendments to the draft minutes?
Yes, there are. Barbara Honegger?
Barbara, go ahead.
I've called Ken Freeland and emailed about this before, but there's just one factual error in the minute, and that is in the discussion on the resolution, there was a statement to the effect that I requested that the resolution be tabled until this call, in part because there were reasons given, and there was a factual error statement, and that was that I had said that my presentation at the DC conference on Saturday would not be on the Pentagon. That is a misunderstanding. It will be on the entire suite of 9/11, and that, of course, will include the Pentagon as just one part. But it is about motive, men, and means, which is the title of the session, and it, of course, will not exclude the Pentagon. So I just think that should be corrected.
But, Barbara, it's not about what happened.
Are there any objections to the clarification requested by Barbara to go into the minutes? Anybody object to it? Who's that?
Paul Zarembka, because that's not what
you said. Yeah, Craig.
Okay, so Paul, are you want to... all right, well, I guess this is a debatable motion, so...
George on the stack.
Okay, Craig, Paul, Paul, then Craig, then George. George, you wanted to speak to it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead,
James
Paul.
Hufford, I just came on the call.
Okay, thank you, James. Anybody else just come on the call? Okay. Go ahead, Paul. You have the floor.
No, I just don't.
Me. I think James might not know what the motion is.
Okay. Yeah, James, we're debating a clarification requested by Barbara regarding what she had said about what her Saturday night presentation was going to be about as opposed to the way it appears in the minutes. Okay.
Okay,
so go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, no, I just only object because I believe she's correcting what she said, and she can't correct what she said last time. She can only state in this conference that she made a mistake last time. So the record for last time has to remain.
Well, so what you're saying is
that,
okay, excuse me, I need to, hold on. What you're saying, Paul, is that you disagree that she said last time what she's now saying that she said last time. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Well,
who's next? Craig, I think you're next to speak.
Yeah, I think I basically would be saying the same thing. I think while that the change might be reflect what Barbara wants us to understand about her presentation, I don't think she said that last time. So I think that most people were understood, I think, that she was saying that the Saturday thing wouldn't be on the Pentagon.
Okay. Barbara, is there any chance we could do it the way that Paul was suggesting, that we could allow you to make a correction rather than change the minutes from the last time?
Well,
and
course,
we could post the correction in the minutes?
Well, sure. The correction's fine.
Okay. Why don't we do it that way then and save a lot of time here? Barbara also brought to my attention that there was an error in the minutes, and the error is that we put in the minutes last time, in the draft minutes, that we had approved the July minutes, but that's incorrect. I'm sure it was a typo on Craig's part. It should have been the June minutes that were approved. Right, Craig?
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay,
that's
so
right.
that absolutely need to be corrected. Anything else to amend the amendments from last time?
Well, George,
okay.
No, but...
All right. And hearing none, then we will proceed that way. And Barbara's request for the clarification or the correction of her of what is in the minutes to accord with what she has said tonight should be included in this segment of the draft minutes. Okay. Let's move on to the approval of tonight's agenda. There was a draft agenda circulated.
I was on the stack to talk about that, to ask about that.
I think it's been resolved, George, because everybody agreed that we were going to do it the way we said we were going to do it there. Right. I think there was no objection. Okay, so let's just move on. Approval of the agenda. Any amendments to the agenda as circulated in the draft agenda?
Craig?
Craig, go ahead.
Yeah, I just thought it might be, since there's two items on there that I think could really kind of roll into one and maybe save a little bit of time. The item down at the bottom about the listserv, it's just it's really a fairly quick thing, and I think it could be thrown into the item that deals with the results of the survey about the teleconference. So I could just easily sort of combine the two and probably shorten things a little bit.
Okay, is there any objection to combining those two items in the interest of saving time? Okay, hearing none, then we will put item 9 as along with item 6 and take it up at that time. Okay, any other amendments to the minutes? Okay, hearing none, then let's move ahead then with the first item of old business, endorsement of Mark Basile's replication of Herod et al. Study. I remember that Mark Basile was on the call. He made a very effective presentation, I think, of what his intentions were regarding the research he intends to conclude and his need for some financial donations, but mostly speaking from us, an endorsement of his work. Is there any objection to endorsing his effort to replicate the work of Herod et al.?
Hearing none. Okay. This is Barbara. Go ahead. I just want you all to know, and I was very pleased to see this, that somebody just came on. Let's find out who that is.
Yeah, sorry I'm late. Lost track of numbers. Is Ned Delaney Lafayette?
Okay.
Thank you, Ned.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Yeah, Robin Horton's here.
Robin Horton. Okay, thank you, Robin. Anybody else on the call that was not part of the roll call? Okay, sorry. Proceed, Barbara.
I just want, just for the two or three who just came on, we're discussing. Why don't you restate the motion, and then I'll just give this short piece of fact.
Okay, sure. We're taking up the question of whether or not the teleconference endorses the work of Mark Basile's replication study, his research to replicate the findings of Herod et al. In other words, the red grade shifts and so forth. Okay. Go ahead, Barbara.
I just want you to know that after the last call, I let Richard Gage and Neil Terrett and Stephen Jones know about that aspect of the call. And Stephen Jones got in a thread that I was therefore CC'd on, a short thread, with Mark. And Stephen Jones was, just for the record, was very pleased and hoped that Mark would go forward, but also what I learned from Stephen Jones's email is that Mark has already done work on some dust samples that he has not yet published that were very important results, and Stephen Jones asked Mark if he had any intention not to publish those because they were fresher samples at that time, and Mark said no, he had every intention to include those earlier results. So I think that's important for everybody to know.
Okay. Anybody else have a comment on this before we put it to a vote? Hearing none, then are there any objections to the teleconference endorsing Mark Basile's replication study of Herod et al.? Hearing none, then we will therefore endorse his effort. Thank you. Moving on to item number 5, resolution regarding the 9/11 Advancing the Truth Conference postponed from the previous teleconference. When we left that, we had agreed that we would discuss it on the listserv. There were some contentions about certain of the issues involved, and the hope was that there would be a more current if any, a resolution to be sent tonight. Paul, do you want to speak to that?
Yes. When I made the resolution last time, it was just based upon what I knew before the conference call, not what I learned in the call. So what I learned from the call and what I learned since then led me to change the resolution. I understand from you, Ken, that there's two ways to go forward. One is to just place this my new resolution on the table just directly, as a substitute for the previous resolution, which is what I would like. The other possibility is just to deal with the other one voted down and then bring this one up. I think the former procedure is better.
If there's no objection, Paul's new resolution can be substituted for the old one. If there's anybody objecting to it, then we will need to take up the old one and decide whether we want that or not, and then go ahead if he wants to reintroduce a new one and go from there. Paul is requesting that we approve an updated resolution that he says takes
not
account
approved
of
the resolution, approved just the substitution for consideration.
Right. This is correct. Now, thank you for the correction. The question is whether we're considering the former resolution or the newer version, which Paul's request was circulated along with the minutes. So is there any objection to allowing the substitution of the new resolution to the old resolution to be considered?
I have a clarification question on the procedure.
Go ahead, Barbara.
Yeah, I presume, and if you could confirm this for everybody, I'd appreciate it, that once we substitute, which I hope we do, because this is Paul's own wish, it's his own resolution, that there will then, of course, it will be open for amendments and or discussion before a
absolutely.
Vote.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And let me make one, I do have one slight wording change that I should tell you about before you actually do it, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. If you want to, because whatever we agree to is going to be the departure
board. Okay, so everything is exactly as everybody received by email. With, if you go down to the second resolve, which has to do with Matt Sullivan, I just want to change a phrase. In addition to fully laying out the CIT research, so I want to substitute, in addition to fully laying out the CIT research, I want to use instead, in addition to fully laying out his position that no airliner hit the Pentagon.
Just clarification, you mean not to refer to Sid at all?
Right. This is not anything about debating the amendment now. This is what I'm proposing as the substitute.
Can you, I can't find that in the...
No, you can't find it because I'm sending it to you now, Ken. But
what is the old language, Paul? Of
the old language
you want
is in addition to fully laying out the CIT research. This is under the second resolve by Matt regarding Matt Sullivan's speech. Okay, it says. In addition to fully laying out the CIT research. I want to say instead, in addition to fully laying out his position that no airliner hit the Pentagon.
Okay. Does anybody have any?
I have a problem.
No, wait a minute. I'm sorry. This isn't debatable because this is all part of Paul's proposal. Okay. He's simply telling us what he wants. His proposal looks like you can.
I think that's not fair to us because. One of the reasons, Ken, that you gave to having his long resolution, substitute resolution, in the minutes, which was unusual, was so that we would all know what it was and think about it. This is a significant change. Allow me to say why. I think this change should be voted on because that's already Dwayne Pease's position.
Let me tell you why it can't, Barbara, because it's still not out on the table, okay? It hasn't been put out on the table yet. He's in the process of putting it out on the table. Once it's put out on the table, if it's unanimously agreed to, then we can begin debating particular parts of it or the whole thing. But until it's out there, there's nothing to debate, okay? He's now still formulating Okay, thank you. Now, how was it again, Paul, in laying out his position on, or his position
fully that? Laying out the CIT research, I changed it to, in addition to fully laying out his position, then no airliner hit the Pentagon.
Hmm. Okay, thank you.
Now I'll send it to you so you have it in front of you.
Okay. All right. So that with that slight difference, it is as printed in the or as published in the draft agenda. So is there any objection to allowing this substitution for the old resolution so that we can proceed with the discussion and decision about it? Hearing no objection, then we will proceed now with the discussion about the resolution using the new language instead of the old language.
Ken, I would have a substantive question if there was a way to ask it.
Sure. I'm trying to get a stack right now, George, so I'll put you on there first. Who else would like to be on the stack?
This is James.
Barbara,
did you say Barbara? Okay.
Frank,
okay. Yeah. Who else besides Frank?
Wait a minute. There's some confusion. Frank just came on the call. James is not George. James is on the stack first. George is not on the stack at all.
Oh, okay. I misheard that.
And Frank right, is not so on the stack. He just joined the call.
No, I didn't just join the call.
Oh, I'm sorry, Frank.
Frank is on the stack.
Okay.
Frank is on the stack. George is not on the stack. Okay. So I have Barbara, James, and Frank. Who else would like to speak to this?
I would. Barry Zwicker here.
Barry Zwicker. Who else would like to speak to it?
Craig McKee.
Craig. Who else?
Adam Syed.
Okay. Adam Syed. Okay. Adam, did you have Adam Syed, Craig, on the call?
I didn't, but I do now.
Okay. Is anybody else on the call that we didn't get in the roll call? Okay. All right. Who else would like to speak to this proposal? Who else just joined the call?
This is Adam Ruff. I got disconnected.
Speak up, please.
Adam Ruff, I just got disconnected.
Oh, you just got disconnected. Okay. All right. So, Barbara, you're first. Go ahead.
Well, actually, I think that James was first.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay, so. James and then Barbara. Go ahead, James.
Okay, well, my question is pretty simple to Paul. Do you mean by when you say that the position that no airliner struck it, what about other kinds of aircraft? I mean, what would you want maybe a broader category than airliner, and would you be saying that the position is that no aircraft whatsoever struck the Pentagon? Or do you just want to restrict it to that no airliner did?
Paul, that's to you.
Let me hold on an answer to that. I have to think about it.
Okay.
Lorenzo's back.
Lorenzo, I didn't hear your name. Okay, Lorenzo's next then. All right. Oh, Lorenzo, did you want to get on the deck?
I already asked to become part of, right. I just asked.
I must have heard your name instead of George's. Okay, go ahead, Lorenzo.
I think that I just asked to be put on the stack.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I think
okay, you're next, Barbara. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a comment that I have a clarification question about procedure first, and that is at what point in this process would someone propose an amendment? After all the discussion or now?
Now.
All right. Frank has an amendment, I believe.
You're the senior.
Okay. Frank, you're next. Go ahead.
At what point can I make a motion?
Right now.
Regarding this motion, anything you want to hit
I make a motion that we table this resolution.
I'm going to have to ask you to clarify that, because table means that we have some pressing other business that we need to put it on table for so that we can take it off later and deal with it. I don't think that's what you mean. I think you wish to postpone it indefinitely. Am I correct?
I wish to postpone it from this meeting because there are other important issues on the agenda.
So what do you wish to postpone it to? Any time or indefinitely?
the next, I wish to postpone it until the next meeting.
Okay. So there's a motion to postpone until our September meeting. Is there a second?
I second that.
Who's I?
Cheryl Curtis.
Cheryl Curtis, okay. All right, so it's been moved and seconded to postpone this resolution, consideration of this resolution until the next teleconference. Who would like to be on the stack to speak for and against, or for that motion?
Craig McKee.
Barbara Honigan.
Adam Syed.
Craig. I'm sorry, just speak for or against. Just speak for or against. Okay. Craig, Barbara, who was the other, the third person?
Adam Syed.
Adam Syed, who else?
Yeah.
Okay. Craig, go ahead.
Well, simply, I think this is this motion is, I mean, to postpone it until after the conference is kind of ridiculous. I mean, this is either we're for it or we're against it. I think we just deal with the merits of it, but postponing it until after it's too late is, I think, a little disingenuous, so I would be against this.
Barbara?
I was just going to point out something similar, that perhaps we could ask Frank if that's what he meant. Isn't there another word for postponing indefinitely, or if it's
no, that's postponing
point
indefinitely.
Of order.
Is the, postponing indefinitely is the correct term for wanting to dispose of an issue. That's the way you do it. You move to postpone indefinitely. That is a non-debatable motion, but it requires 2/3 vote to win. Okay.
Well, what if it were worded asking Paul to withdraw the motion? Is that an effective motion?
Well, you can ask Paul to withdraw the motion, but that's not really not a motion.
It's not? Why not? Why is it different than postponing indefinitely?
Well, first of all, Paul no longer has the right to postpone this motion. It belongs to the group.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, in that case, my comment is I believe that Frank can speak to it himself, but I believe that his intent is to effectively withdraw the motion or kill the motion, basically. So I think it's clear, because if it is postponed, then it would be after the conference. So that is the intent, I believe. But Frank could speak to that himself, regardless of what wording is used in his motion.
Okay. Adam Syed, you're next.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to say the same thing that Craig McKee said, is that, yeah, this is a resolution to do with the conference, so it doesn't seem to make any sense to postpone it till after the conference.
Okay.
Point of order.
Go ahead, point of order.
Yeah, this is Duane. I'm feeling like this is discussion or debating. As each person talks, they're kind of weighing in on what their opinion is.
They are supposed to. That's what we're doing right now. We're debating the question of whether or not to postpone.
Yeah, but isn't this is a motion to table?
No, it's a motion to postpone. It was reconfigured because
I didn't hear.
Yeah, it's a motion to postpone until the next teleconference. Okay. Who else would like to make the motion to postpone? My question is,
was that understood in changing it from tabling to postponing?
Well, I tried to clarify it as well as I could, but I'll clarify it again. To table means to put something on the table and then be able to take it back off whenever the pressing business is taken care of. Postponing means you don't take it up again during the same session, okay? That's the difference, and Frank said that that's what he preferred, so that's where we're going, okay?
Did he realize that then allowed discussion? I did.
Either one allows discussion. The only one that doesn't allow discussion is the move to postpone indefinitely, but that requires a 2/3 vote. Okay. Now, who else would like to speak to the motion to postpone?
Well, now, just a moment. I don't think Frank understood that it requires a 2/3 vote to postpone indefinitely.
But,
so what requires...
But the motion isn't to postpone indefinitely. The motion is to postpone until September. It only requires a majority vote. Okay.
I understand. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Who else would like to speak to the motion? Hearing no
yeah,
other...
All right, but yeah, Mr. McMahon, I'd like to speak to the motion. I think it should be clarified now, not postponed.
Well, who is this? Who's speaking?
This is Dennis McMahon.
Dennis, okay, Dennis, you're saying you're not in favor of postponing, in other words, right?
Correct.
Okay.
It's Elizabeth. Well,
so like George on the stack.
George, go ahead.
I believe that these subjects need to be aired, and I believe that this is a respectful group that needs to discuss these things respectfully and not shelve them. I believe that that's part of the problem, that we haven't been able to discuss things in full, and therefore I would be opposed to that.
Okay, so anybody else that hasn't spoken yet on the question of postponement need to say anything, or can we
have a vote? Yes, that's Elizabeth. I would like to.
Elizabeth, go ahead.
Would it be possible for you to have a special teleconference before the event to air it and not?
Not without a motion. With a motion, there could be a motion made to do something like that. It would be unusual, but we could do it.
And George would say, why bother? Well, let's do it now.
Well, George, you're not, in fact, your turn to speak right now. Elizabeth, is that all you have to say?
Yeah, well, we have an agenda here, and I came back to the city to do my part in it. I actually made a special trip to do this. So if you do it now and my involvement is canceled or postponed, I won't do it again. I know that.
So here's an idea. Maybe what Elizabeth is suggesting is that we should move this item to later in the agenda so that we can get to some more pressing items like her presentation.
That's tabling, though.
No, that's not tabling. That's simply moving an item in the agenda. It requires a two-thirds vote. That's all. We can do that. We can reorder the agenda anytime we wish if we have a two-thirds vote. Okay.
I second that motion.
Well, I'm not making the motion because I'm the facilitator. Would somebody like to make the motion? I think Elizabeth was making the motion.
There's
okay.
A motion on the floor. What are you talking about?
Who made it?
No, the motion to postpone until the next conference, yes or no.
Yeah, but Elizabeth was moving to move this discussion about that postponement to later in the agenda, okay? So in other words, it should be to a certain point. Let's say that we bring it up
it's her motion.
She's not as familiar with this. I'm trying to make a suggestion to see if she's amenable to it. But it would be postponed until after her presentation. Okay, just to
I
that point.
That. Sorry, but I second it.
Okay, so Elizabeth makes that motion. Is that correct, Elizabeth?
Well, that would work for me. Sure.
So this is the amendment. This is amendment to the motion. Is this correct?
Who's speaking? Who's speaking? No, this is a new motion. Paul, this is
what about the old
motion? The old motion we take it right back up as soon as we get back into it. Okay, that's where we pick it up or we leave it off.
So the motion to postpone to the next conference is dead.
No, the motion to postpone will be considered as soon as Elizabeth is done with her presentation. We'll pick this right back up again where we left it off. Craig is next to speak. Okay? I'm sorry. I take that back. That was the old order list.
We have a vote on Elizabeth.
We have to take a vote on it. But we're going to post. If this motion passes, we will simply resume this discussion as soon as Elizabeth's presentation is over. Okay? Is there any objection to so regarding our agenda?
No.
Hearing no objection, then we will therefore continue this later, and we will therefore move into our future presentation, which is we're not quite there yet. Wait a minute. That one. Okay. Is there any objection to allowing Elizabeth's presentation to go forward now, even though it's new business?
No.
Hearing no objection, then we will just move right into that item on the agenda, okay? We're going to talk about the 9/11 consensus panel. Elizabeth is here to answer questions that many people have had, as well as to make a brief presentation. Remember that you will have read at least that web page on the consensus panel website regarding the Delphi method of consensus in order to participate in this discussion. Elizabeth, welcome to the 9/11 Truth teleconference. We're honored to have you with us tonight, and can you give us a few brief words, and then we'll go ahead and open it up to questions, okay?
Yes, thank you very much, Ken. First of all, I'd just like to, we all know that we've lost Bob Bowman on the 22nd of August. He died in his own home, and he was a member of our consensus panel for the past 2 years. So I'd just like to mention that. And I sent, if anybody would be interested in sending anything to his wife, I have the information. I could email you and give you information on how to send condolences. So the other thing I'd like to mention up front is that we have 2 new panel members, which brings the number of voting members up to 22. They are John Cole, an engineer that you all know, and Daniel Ganser, professor of history in Switzerland. And we have 3 new honorary members. James Douglas, the author of JFK and the Unspeakable. Ferdinando Imposimato, who's the honorary member, the honorary president of the Italian Supreme Court. And Matthew Kasowitz, a French director, producer, and actor who's now living in Los Angeles. So those are changes, including the loss, as I mentioned, of Bob Bowman. We have been having some interesting successes in getting into the media. In France, there was a well-known magazine called Nexus, which appears on all the French newsstands around the country. And the March-April version edition of it carried a 12-page feature article on the 9/11 consensus panel. And there have been other articles published. Some of our press releases get picked up in some pretty substantial publications, including the Wall Street Journal. So Twitter, there's quite a lot going on out in Twitter, where I've been spending about 3 or 4 hours a day in the last couple of months trying to drum up a following for the consensus panel announcements of points, especially the points that are shocking and controversial. And there's one that, in particular, there was a man who works in video surveillance in the industry who was contracted to look at all the footage of Dulles International Airport. And he looked at 300 cameras, security cameras. It took him a whole month. He had the FBI standing over his shoulder watching every minute of every frame of these 300 cameras. And they have not published a single image of any of the 5 hijackers. So things like that, that the public don't know about, we've been tweeting those things out, hoping that, you know, what the consensus panel is unearthing in all this incredible amount of time we spend working on these points. I have to integrate the feedback, 3 rounds of feedback from every round that we send out. The round that originally what we do is we draft the points. Either David drafts them or I draft them or another panel member will draft a point, and that's left. Oh, we don't say who drafted it. We send it to the 22 people. They're blind to one another. They offer their feedback and evaluation, and they return that to David and I, who are the moderators. And then we integrate that information as much as we can, and we send it out again. And we do that 3 times until everybody is happy with the points. At that point, it's achieved what in Western medicine would be termed a consensus statement. and consensus statements are used. If you Google that, you'll see consensus statements on clinical practice guidelines for any number of diseases that exist, high blood pressure, diabetes, you know, everything, earache, childhood earache. They all have consensus statements because they've been reviewed in that using that approach. And when that approach is applied to medicine, that's one use of the Delphi technique is modified for its use in medicine. And so we decided to use that on the advice of a man I worked with for many years in my medical librarian job, who was Dr. Timothy Johnstone. He was the provincial epidemiologist for British Columbia. And when I told him what we were trying to do, he said, oh, well, what you should do, it's good for mail-out groups. It's, you know, it's not, you don't need to have people around a table. You can do this for people anywhere in the world. And so we decided to use that. And David Griffin, he's really delighted because we find the weaknesses in our work. And sometimes it's a lot of work to fix it up so that everybody's happy with it. But in the end, we do have something that we can call the best evidence that we can derive or determine on a particular aspect of the official claim. We're not claiming any more than that. All we're claiming is that the official story said X. We 22 people looked at it independently, and we said, no, it was not X, and here are the reasons. And so we call that our best evidence. We're not saying that that's the best evidence anywhere, but it's the best we've been able to do. And that's all that medicine says. When they come up with consensus statements, they say, this is the best we can do. So it should be understood as a relative statement in a context of 22 people working together, 24 actually. So that's my introduction. If you're interested in some of the points that are coming up or in past points, I could go into those, but I'd certainly be happy to take any questions that you might have.
Okay, thank you very much for that, Elizabeth. Before we move into question and answers, would you be kind enough to send to Craig the Twitter address so that people that want to subscribe to the Twitter Twitter account can do so?
Oh, sure. I can give you that right now. It's just @consensus911.
Thank you. Any other, Craig?
Got it.
Great, thank you. Okay, so who would like to make a comment or ask her a question of Elizabeth?
Barbara.
Barbara, who else? Craig, I got you. Who else?
Adam Ruff,
go ahead. Who else?
Adam Syed,
who else?
Robin,
who else? Okay, Barbara, you're first.
Yeah, just thank you so much, Elizabeth. What you're doing is phenomenal, and we're also terribly grateful.
Well, thank you, Barbara.
I have two clarification questions. The first is that magazine article in Nexus, is that only in French? I imagine it is, but can we get a copy of that from you? Maybe you could send that to Craig. Number two, could you clarify a little bit more about this person who looked at the 300 security camera videos? Who is this person? Is it one of your points already? Is it coming up?
Yes, it's in a
how
point.
How did they get access to these 300 security camera videos?
Well, he was contracted. I read it in an industry journal about surveillance cameras and how they, you know, what they do. And this guy who runs a company and was contracted, I guess, by the FBI, he was just talking in his journal article about the fact that he did this. And I thought, he doesn't know what he's saying. You know, he has absolutely no idea the significance of what he just wrote down, and it's on his website. So
I see. So could you send us those links so we can
Well, they're on the web page. If you go to the 300, which point is that now? It's the point. If you go to the consensus panel points, there are points about video evidence, and it's the one about Dulles International Airport. You'll see it in that point.
Okay, and my only other comment, I'm sure you're going to cover it, is that I'm sure we would all like to hear what points are coming up, because we can read the ones that are already on the website.
Yes. We have, they're just in the final stages right now, and we'll be posting them probably around the 7th of September, and there'll be a press release and a Twitter release at that time. Point PC1A is called, and this shouldn't really be really go beyond our group right now, because you know we want to you know, it's pre-press release, right? So
you're aware that this is a recorded conference, right, Elizabeth?
Oh yes, it is, isn't it? Okay. When does the recording get released?
We post it usually within 24 hours.
Oh, well, I shouldn't answer the question then. I'm sorry.
How long do you need?
Well, we need to get the points finished and integrated. We're just getting, today's the last day for feedback, so it's going to take a few days to get them ready. And then we have to put them up on the website and translate them into three other languages, French, Italian, and Spanish, and then the press release. So that won't happen until about the 9th of September.
Oh, yeah.
Could you let us know when those are up? Just let Craig know or Ken know, and he can say it.
Yeah, you'll probably all get the press release because it goes to all the 9/11 people.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Craig, you're up.
A couple of the things that were just said I was interested in, too. I was curious about reading that Nexus article. But my point, I guess it's more of a concern, and I want to get your comment on it, Elizabeth. One of the things, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, you basically have four people among the group vote against a point, and it can't really pass because it needs to be it needs to get 85% support, which means three people going against is okay, but four is too many. Am I correct so far?
If we can't modify a point to the place where, I don't know the math, how many it is, I know 85% of 22 people, if we can't get 85% approval after we've had three rounds of feedback, we have to shelve the point.
Right.
And wait
right.
for more evidence.
Right, sure. Okay, so my concern was because I feel some of the most important evidence that the truth movement needs to highlight to people is the evidence relating to the Pentagon. And I know this has been a topic that's not new to any of us, but my concern was with the addition, because we had at one point there was one person on the consensus panel that was very vocally saying that the plane did hit the Pentagon. Now we have a second person who's on the call, Dwayne, who's reversed his position. So now he's also saying that. And now
what is Dwayne saying? Sorry?
Dwayne is now favoring the idea that a plane did hit the Pentagon.
Okay.
And my concern is with the fact that you just he's written papers with David Chandler.
Craig, I think you were breaking up there. If you want to repeat what you just said, I think it was.
Okay. Let me try that again.
Yeah.
So my concern was Jonathan. I was saying that Jonathan Cole is also very vocally behind the idea that a plane did hit. So my concern is you've now got three people on the panel who are on record that way. So my concern is that any point that comes up for consideration on the Pentagon that relates to the whole question of whether a plane did or did not hit, basically you need unanimity from the other 21 people. Otherwise it won't pass, which almost seems to me to guarantee that you'll never be able to pass any points on that subject. And I wanted to get your comment on that.
Yes. It's a most unfortunate thing that the truth movement is so divided on this issue, which if it were sometime, we're going to get some information. from somewhere, which will, where everybody will breathe a huge sigh of relief and say, ah, now we know it's straightforward. Until it's straightforward, I mean, we're not picking our panel members because of the Pentagon. There's so much evidence that we've just that we are looking at, and we'll have 37 points out next week. The Pentagon is only one thing. There's a lot of evidence that's really wrong in the 9/11 Commission report, in the NIST reports, in the FEMA report, all those reports. And the reports about it's incredible the amount of false information that was given to us about the whereabouts of the top military and political leaders on 9/11. We've done 8 points on that alone. So rather than get into the Pentagon issue and try and, I mean, once we start touching that, people are going to say, well, you're stacking the panel. You have a position, you're stacking the panel. We don't have a position, and we are not stacking the panel. We're just asking if people, good people with strong minds that we think have done lots of research, we ask them to join the panel to assess the broad spectrum of information that exists against the official story. So I hope that will answer your question.
Yeah, I'll leave it to others to give their take further, yeah.
Thank you, Craig. Adam Ruff?
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Adam.
Hi, I just kind of have a concern as well. And my concern is that all of the panelists on the consensus panel are not working from the same knowledge base, or in some cases even a relatively complete knowledge base. For example,
could you speak up just a little bit? I can't quite hear you.
Okay.
I
was just making the point that the panelists are not necessarily working from the same knowledge base or even a complete knowledge base in regards to the points that they're evaluating. For example, if the panelists were asked a question about the Pentagon evidence, they may not have even looked at or considered CIT's work or Pilot Truth work on the subject, and therefore they're voting from a position of ignorance.
Well, they're not looking at the Pentagon, number one. At, you know, number two is that we have come up with quite a technical point for the next release, and I can tell you that it's about the seismic data that was collected around the Twin Towers. And some panelists were not comfortable with evaluating that because they felt that it was beyond their expertise.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happens, we have a provision to abstain. People, they can feel that they weren't part of the vote. If it turns out that we're wrong on the issue, they weren't participating in it. So only the people who are really comfortable with a point need to evaluate it. And so far, I mean, we usually get maybe one or two people that won't evaluate out of 22. But that's not too bad. I mean, it's fair enough. It's not like we're getting hordes of people that won't evaluate.
Well, my concern is that we don't know the future. The Pentagon evidence might be the straw that breaks the camel's back. It might, in fact, prove later on down the road to be the most important evidence. And if the consensus panel is going to essentially table it, I have some serious concerns about that. Anyway, one of my other...
Excuse me for interrupting for a second. Somebody has a lot of background noise going on. It sounds like clicking and stuff like that. If whoever that is, if you could press *6, it won't interfere with others' ability to listen down the call. Thank you. Okay.
Okay. That issue aside as to whether or not the Pentagon proves to be the breaking the camel's back, one issue that really concerns me about the panel is that there's really no way for you to determine whether all the panelists are in fact genuine, authentic 9/11 truthers. I mean, you're basing that all on
your own opinion.
I'm having trouble hearing you. Your voice sounds like it's really remote and not close.
I'm sorry, is that better?
Yeah.
Yes, that is better. Yes.
Okay. Well,
So are you saying that do we know who's on the panel? Do we know their authenticity? Is that your question?
Well, yeah. There's no way that I can see that you can determine with any degree of certainty that all the panelists are relatively unbiased, at least, and whether or not they're in fact genuine.
Well, we
the
have
way
six.
The panelists structure, if one person were to infiltrate the panel and be a cognitive infiltrator, he could possibly swing the vote away.
You know, that's the kind of question that is totally unanswerable. What if you have an infiltrator on the panel? If we can't answer that question to everybody's satisfaction, we have to shut down and not do our work. We have six people with PhDs who've spent their lives working in universities and teaching students. We have three or four attorneys. We have several journalists. We have a member of European Parliament. These people would be considered by most to have lifelong academic records of some merit. Now, if one of them or two of them or maybe all of them were infiltrators, well, then we've been taken for a ride. But I don't think they are, and I have to go with my best judgment, and so does David.
Right. Well,
okay.
I just see a definite steering away from the Pentagon evidence. And one final point, and then I'll get off, is that I said earlier that everyone was lying to each other, yet all the names are up on the website. And for example, Chandler and Cole both collaborated on a paper, so they can obviously talk to each other about the points.
Sorry?
That's the last thing I wanted
well,
to
say. Well, if they were dishonest, they could.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we go on a trust method. So does every medical panel in the world. It has to go on a trust method. And if it comes to the point where we can't trust each other within the 9/11 truth movement, we might as well just give up. That's my view.
Okay, thank you. Adam Saeed, you're next.
Ken, this is
Hi.
James. Could I get on the stack then?
Okay, James.
Paul Zaremka also on the stack?
All right. Catch Paul. Go ahead, Adam.
Hi, Elizabeth. I just wanted to say I wanted to basically echo what Craig McKee said in his concerns. But also, I'd like to respond to your response to him when you say that it's so unfortunate that the truth movement is so deeply divided on this issue. And I think in the grander scheme of things, that's simply not true. There's a Facebook 35,000 member group called the 9/11 Truth Movement, and there have been polls on that page. Do you believe a 757 hit the Pentagon, yes or no? And there have been hundreds of feedback, and virtually nobody says yes. So I think that, shall we say, outside the world of so-called the academic wing or the intelligentsia or the quote-unquote leaders of the truth movement, which largely has, throughout the course of history the past 5 years, has tended to sort of converge around 9/11 blogger, I don't think that the truth movement is deeply divided at all on this issue. I think that there are a small number of very dedicated people who are trying to create an artificial division, and I don't question your motives at all, Elizabeth. I think you're genuine, but I think that you have, I think you've unfortunately taken the position that the quote-unquote differences of opinion over the Pentagon are genuine and well-meaning. Like you just, like for example, as far as Chandler and Cole, well, Craig Ranke very thoroughly demonstrated how dishonest Chandler and Cole's joint statement was in an extremely in-depth paper. So anyway, as far as the consensus panel goes, I basically have to share the same concerns as McKee and Ruff, and you're right, this may be the panel's best evidence, and you're right that it may not, you're right that the panel's best evidence may not be the actual best evidence. What if someday somebody did leak a video showing the flyover to WikiLeaks, and imagine what that's going to make David Chandler and John Cole and Frank Legg look like, and all
sure.
the people that
Everybody,
supported them.
I agree. When the evidence, and I said that, when the evidence clarifies, absolutely, so that we can all see what happened, nobody is going to, everybody's going to be glad. And I just don't like the attribution of the word dishonest to people who are really seriously interested in this subject. And I think the ad hominem argument brings it down, unfortunately.
Okay, yeah, I totally agree that the ad hominem arguments bring it down. You know, but for this is certainly cut both ways. For example, you know, you've got like, for example, Chandler and Cole, who are, you know, they're both on the consensus panel, right? Well, they said in their joint statement that if this flyover were true, then how they got rid of the plane and disposed of the passengers is a question that CIT don't even consider. Well, that's not true. They very do clearly consider that right there on their FAQ page. So were Chandler and Cole being extremely sloppy here when making claims like that, or were they being deliberately dishonest? So anyway, I've said my piece. I realize that was a slight divergence from the actual issue of the panel itself, but not really, because you've got Chandler and Cole on there.
Sure. Okay, well, I hear what you're saying, and it's just something that's got to remain an open question for now as far as work is concerned.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you, Adam. Robin?
I have a Barb on the stack with a related question to what
happened. Barbara, you've already spoken. For right now, we're just taking people who haven't spoken yet. Robin, go ahead.
I would like to make the point that the consensus panel has reached a significant high ground in the 9/11 truth community. From my point of view, the principal infiltration of the 9/11 truth community has been designed to make sure that the peace community and the 9/11 truth community do not merge, and that James Douglas, who I believe is a fellow who put together Ground Zero, the anti-nukes program, is in part of the peace community, and that this is an absolutely phenomenal step, and it goes beyond all of the evidence that they may ever want to collect. So that's a compliment to you. And then the second thing I want to do, which is tangential, is that keep the TWA 800 going here. There's a wonderful parallel. So thank you.
Thank you, Robin.
Okay, James, you're next.
Okay, well, I'd just like to suggest, partly in response to Craig's concern, I'd like to say to Elizabeth that you should consider maybe asking all of your members to list aspects of, let's say, upcoming points that they have either published or spoken on and done a lot of research on, and maybe recuse themselves from those particular points, just as in a jury, in vetting the membership of a jury, people who have preconceived opinions or strong biases already are shunted off the jury. And that way, the people that are seeing each point and the evidence relatively freshly will be able to determine it without having, votes already cast in cement that are already up and composing maybe three or four people that can completely throw out a particular point. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do see what you're saying. That but the thing is that we're not actually in the habit of introducing controversial material because we know that it'll take a lot of work and it won't fly.
Well, no, but still, if you're voting on particular points and you have people who already have strongly formed views on those, maybe they shouldn't be in the vote. Maybe it should be fresh minds who are going to judge the evidence on its own merits
but
that will decide.
Most of these people are career, to get a PhD in physics or their engineering or anything, it does take a certain kind of training that people do respect.
Well, that's true, but on the other hand, when they're putting a jury together, they don't exempt people with PhDs and physicists from that rule. If they're biased, they're biased, and they're thrown off.
Well, give
and
me
maybe
an,
these people could recuse themselves and
but,
not...
give me a for instance. Like, what kind of point would we ask people to recuse themselves on that,
well,
that we've already done?
Maybe the point about whether a plane or any kind of aircraft hit the Pentagon.
Well, as I have said several times in this discussion, we are not going to address that issue until evidence emerges that makes it really straightforward. And whether people are infiltrating or they're dishonest or whatever they're doing, they're not agreeing. And the whole prior discussion leading up to this and the one that's going to go on after I leave, that's all about the same thing.
Well, I see what you're saying, except that the evidence may lead people strongly in one direction or other if you would take a look at it, but if you pre-decided that it's just too split and too controversial, then that evidence doesn't have a chance to weigh.
We've only seen that it's creating a huge rift in this. I don't think there's any point in continuing with this. It never resolves.
Okay. Well, that's fine. That's just my suggestion.
Yeah, thanks for the suggestion. But if we ever get around to the Pentagon, we might have to use it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
All right, Paul and then myself. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, my question, Elizabeth, goes back to conversations I've had with you before. Here's my concern. The Delphi method is a method. It is in all sciences, there are disputes about methods. For example, I'm in econometrics, and there's all kinds of disputes within econometrics about the best methodology to establish the truth or at least some probability about certain events, regardless of what we're talking about. The same thing has to be true about the Delphi method. Now, the only thing I'm going to be very frank with you. The only thing I've ever heard about the Delphi method from you or from reading the site is it is used in medicine, period, okay? Now,
did you read the article that I asked people to read from the British Medical Journal in 1995?
Let me just finish, okay? It always goes back to a medicine, okay? Somebody in medicine said, now, maybe for medicine it's the appropriate methodology. Maybe it's not. I'm not in medicine. I'm not going to judge, and I also don't know the Delphi method enough to be sure. However, there are other There are other people out there, researchers, who have said that the Delphi method was originated in the RAND Corporation and maybe even earlier than the RAND Corporation in the context of the Cold War. I mean, it's nasty stuff, okay? Now, I know that some stuff that comes out of military connections have had good civilian uses. I'm not going to dispute that. But what I don't understand is any kind of discussion about the origins of the Delphi method and whether it is applicable to a topic like 9/11. You simply say that it's been used in medicine, and therefore we can use it. And that's not enough.
No. You know, we've had much correspondence about this, and I sent this article to everybody. And if you wouldn't be asking me this question if you had read the paragraph near the top of the article that says it's used, it enables a large group of experts to be contacted cheaply, usually by mail with a self-administered questionnaire, with few geographical limitations on the sample. Some situations have included a round in which the participants meet to discuss the process and resolve uncertainty. And then it goes on to explain about the three rounds. And we are using this application of the Delphi method. And to bring up and say the RAND Corporation and the military is actually pointing to something quite different. You're not looking at what we're asking you to look at that we have taken for our model.
What I'm trying to suggest is that somebody should go back and analyze the history of the Delphi method and in different disciplines and what it has been used for, and from that maybe understand whether it's applicable to a topic like 9/11 or is not so applicable or not at all applicable to a topic like 9/11. This is a very serious research question we're talking about here. Therefore, we ought to know very seriously what kind of methodology we're using. That's my point.
Okay, well, that's a PhD thesis, and if somebody wants to write a PhD thesis about the method that the consensus panel is using, fine. But in the meantime, it's our tool, and it's working pretty well for us.
Okay, thanks, Paul. Elizabeth, this is Ken. I'd like to make an observation in passing here. In your response to one of the earlier speakers, you said that you try to avoid known controversial questions because they require more work. And I can well understand why you say that, but it does seem to me that the question of what makes something controversial depends very much on who is on the panel. I just wanted to make that observation in passing, that the question of controversy and how much work it would take to arrive at a consensus depends very much on the starting point of the people in the panel.
That's true. That's okay. Inevitable. I guess that's always going to be inevitable in a consensus approach to consensus. One of the things it says in the journal is that the consensus approach is used in situations where there's a lot of overload of information, and the people are remote from one another, and it's not perfect, but it seems to be one of the best tools available. So we're not claiming perfection at all, and sure,
right.
You can...
I understand that, but I think reverting back to what one of the other speakers also said about the extent to which the question of the plane hitting the Pentagon is pretty close to a consensus within the larger truth movement, it seems that the opinions of the panelists coming in should more or less jive with that at some point, I would think.
Well, we don't have a position on the Pentagon. That's our position, is that we are not ready to take a position. We don't think we can get consensus. I suppose if we took a group of people who all agreed about the Pentagon, then we would have consensus. But
I you're right, and that's a fair criticism. But it's a sword that cuts both ways. If you have a significant minority on the panel who are absolutely opposed to the idea that a plane could not have hit the Pentagon, then you're also going to have an eternally controversial question. This is just an observation I wanted to make in passing. We don't need to deal with it any further. I just wanted to point that out.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay. So everybody that wanted to speak that hasn't spoken yet has spoken, and we've gone pretty far past the amount of time for this. If anybody else would like to speak, I think we'd have to take a vote on whether you want to extend the time for this, which is an appropriate motion if somebody would like to make it.
I make that motion, Robin.
Robin, move. How many more minutes do you want to add to this?
20.
I second.
Wow. To add 20 to this would pretty much preclude taking up any other business tonight. It's already 10 after 9. Okay. The motion is to extend this for 20 minutes. It's been seconded. Any discussion?
Ken. Somebody has come in here to my room, and they want to... I want to tell them that they can do the cooking while I'm doing this, okay?
Sure.
Just take a moment.
No problem. So,
what you're cooking. This is a 9/11 truth movement, remember?
If there's no discussion, then let's say all in favor of extending for 20 minutes, say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, say nay.
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 You want to call the roll? You want to call the roll, Craig, real quick?
Yeah. Okay. Dwayne?
Yay.
Yay. Ken? Oh, yeah, I don't call you, Dwayne. Elizabeth, are you in favor of the this being added, being lengthened by 20 minutes?
I'll just hit the star 6 so my friend who's just come in to make us dinner, it won't sound into the phone.
Okay, she said yes.
Yes, okay. Barton, Bruce?
Yes.
Barry Swicker?
Nay.
Adam Ruff? That was that nay?
Nay.
Okay. Dennis McMahon?
No.
Barbara Honegger?
Yes.
Frank Talopko?
Abstain.
Okay. Cheryl Curtis? Cheryl, are you still there?
Star 6 if you're muted, Cheryl. Keep going.
Okay. All right. Lorenzo?
Yay.
Paul Zaremka?
Nay.
George Ripley?
Yay.
James Hufford?
Yes.
Robin Gordon?
Yay.
Adam Syed? Adam, are you there?
Star 6 if you're muted.
Ned Delaney?
Abstain.
Abstain, okay.
This is Cheryl. I was muted before and I couldn't figure out how to unmute, and I vote nay.
Nay, okay. And Craig McKee, I vote nay. So I have, 5, 6, 7, 8, yay. 5 saying nay and 2 abstentions.
Did everybody get a chance to vote?
Only the people, yeah, except that there's a couple people who didn't answer when I, one was Cheryl, we got her, and then Adam. I don't know if we lost Adam Syed, but.
Okay, so the yeas have it, right?
Yeah, the yeas appear to have it.
All right, so we'll continue this topic for up to 20 more minutes. Barbara, I know you want to be on the stack. Does anybody that's not spoken yet want to speak?
No, Dwayne.
All right, Dwayne, I'll put you ahead of Barbara. Who else besides Dwayne and Barbara? Okay.
Well, I guess I'll pile in Barry's Wicker.
Okay. Dwayne.
Craig. Sorry.
Dwayne, Barry, Barbara, and Craig. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Okay, I'm speaking as a panel member. I think it was James who suggested a little while ago.
Before you continue, sorry, Elizabeth, are you back? Elizabeth?
Hit star 6, Ken.
Huh?
Yeah, tell her how to
hit star 6.
Oh, star 6, Elizabeth, if you're muted, star 6. Are you back with us, Elizabeth?
Is that okay now?
Oh, yeah, it's okay now. We just want to make sure you're back with us, okay?
I'm muted, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Dwayne, go ahead.
Yes, as a panel member, I think it was James who was suggesting that it ought to be okay for panel members to submit their own points to be considered under the condition that they recuse themselves from the vote. And as my understanding, that's a policy that's in effect right now. And it could be that no one takes that opportunity up because it sounds like it's a disadvantage to not be able to vote. But I think that's actually what the policy is.
Well, Paul, that isn't exactly what I suggested.
Oh, how is your suggestion different?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, my suggestion is a little different than that.
But I'll certainly make a note of both those suggestions and make sure, especially the one that you mentioned, Dwayne, because there have been some points written by panelists. And, of course, you're right. They should not be voting on them.
Thank you, Dwayne. Barry?
Yeah. Well, you know, Elizabeth and I think we're friends. We've had a lot of nice talks. And earlier we talked for a long time in two or three conversations about the CIT evidence. And I think you'll agree, but if you don't, Elizabeth, of course, just speak up if you have a different recollection, that Elizabeth never seemed to come to grips. She always said, I haven't gotten to it yet, and so forth and so forth. And I've encountered that, of course, with other persons, friends and colleagues and so forth. So it's not that unusual, but it was a fact at that time. Now, the other point I'd like to make is that in the field of medicine, for instance, it would be extremely unlikely that there'd be a serious fraction of any universe of physicians who would be agents of the state. And whereas with 9/11, it's a highly political thing, and we know that the infiltration and cognitive dissonance and so on is rampant. And so, therefore, the selection of the panel members is extremely important in light of that. And other people who have spoken already have pointed out specific people, Chandler, Cole, Lake, and so on. And these people are, I can't help but say, they are suspect on the basis of their own statements. And so therefore, they have to be suspect as genuine members of a panel that's supposed to be objective and honest and true and genuine and all that. So the process, regrettably, is flawed in that respect. And that would be enough pretty well to sink it as far as Pentagon, as the subject of the Pentagon is concerned. And I agree with those who suggest that the Pentagon may be the most significant aspect of 9/11. At least it's a very important one. And this is why, finally, I had to regrettably resign from the consensus panel. And I don't see where these flaws have been remedied. And I'm not sure they can. Well, probably they could be, but they haven't been.
Well, that's fair comment, Barry, given from your strong position on the CIT information. Unfortunately, I've been exposed to information from across the board, and I don't know. I cannot formulate an opinion. I don't feel qualified to formulate an opinion. You look at people like John Wyndham, who has a PhD in physics from Cambridge University and worked with some of the top physicists in Britain. He has the view that the plane did hit the Pentagon. He's not on the panel. Leggy isn't on the panel. Chandler and Cole are on the panel. We can't doubt Chandler's honesty when he went to all that work to show that the free fall speed of Building 7. I mean, how can we possibly say the man's dishonest? He's given so much time to really valid work. So we are in a real conundrum. We're in a fix when it comes to dealing with the Pentagon through our particular process. And if something comes along that irrefutably proves, you know, that a plane either did or did not hit the Pentagon, we would all welcome that. We'd all deal with it. We could. That's the point at which it would qualify to meet the criteria that we use on the panel.
Well, I won't. Okay. You know, I won't. It's not up to me to extend the conversation. I made my contribution, and I hear you, Elizabeth.
Thanks, Barry. Well, I've enjoyed our conversations. We've had many. Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Barry. Barbara, you're up.
Yes. I have a one-sentence comment and then a question for Elizabeth about the procedure on the consensus panel. My comment is that it's frustrating for me personally as a researcher on the Pentagon to hear over and over, what position do you take? Did a plane hit or didn't it? There are other positions, as Elizabeth well knows, my position, and that's the position that I've been arguing at the conference. You can have a plane destroyed at the Pentagon without actually impacting the wall. But in any case, my question to Elizabeth is this. The original Delphi method from the medical field that you're taking, does it allow the formal method, and I presume you've adopted it, does it allow your panelists, I guess you call them the 22 people now, does it allow them formally to communicate with each other outside of the formal process on a point? And I think that's important to some of the comments that have already been made. For instance, you have more than one person on the panel who published a paper on a particular position on something, for instance. And that's even going further than communicating on a point. So I guess my question is, are they, of course you can't police that, people can talk, it's a free world, but is your official method in the consensus panel that the panelists are allowed to communicate with one another outside of your formal process? Thank you.
No, the panelists undertake when they join the panel, they're told that there's to be no discussion with one another in the reviewing process about the evidence that we're looking at. And the reason the Delphi is used, one big reason, is that there are strong personalities and weaker personalities, and some people tend to be dominant, and if you allow them to talk to each other, then you're going to have lobbying going on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And so it's meant to be free of that. And everybody agrees that comes on. That's the terms of the, and we have to, I mean, it is a free world, but they would be being dishonest if they did not adhere to that process.
And if you did have evidence that proven that someone had been lobbying someone else, you would ask them to, you would remove them from the panel and take?
Well, I don't know. We would certainly take it up with them, and we'd make sure that they understood it. And if it seemed to be impossible to get them to toe the line that way, they'd have to go, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Barbara. Craig?
Yeah, I perhaps shouldn't have spoken up. I was wanting to get in a comment about how this the extension of this would impact the rest of the agenda. And so perhaps, I don't know if there's an opportunity for me to express my concern that we not, you know, bump the agenda item that we were in the middle of before, because of this extension, so it's perhaps not the right time to jump in, but that was my concern.
Well, you have the floor. You can say anything you want to say, I guess. But
Okay. I don't know if it requires a motion. I want us to. I mean, I'm glad we have Elizabeth on, and we're getting lots of interesting information in this discussion. I definitely think though we can't end the call without finishing the item that's still open, which we started the call with. I would be in favor of continuing and as long as we need to finish that.
You're the last person on the staff, as far as I can see, Craig. Okay. So if there's, we may be at the end of this discussion.
Robin,
you're on the staff. Go ahead.
Thank you. This is my feeling. I think the consensus panel is a step ahead without any question, but it is not the final step. That's all.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks.
Okay, if there's no further questions, we certainly want to thank Elizabeth for joining us. We certainly want
thank
to
you.
Welcome
thank you.
Elizabeth to join us any last Wednesday of the month to participate in our conferences and to keep us apprised of what's going on with the consensus panel. But in any case, this has been a very informative discussion, Elizabeth, and we do thank you so much for sharing your time with us tonight.
And I'd like to thank you all, too, for putting me in the middle of your other agenda, because I did come, as I say, I came back to town for this, and it's you know, it's not something that, it's hard for me to fit stuff in. Sometimes I'm working harder on this panel than I ever did in my career job. I'll put it that way.
We appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you all for hearing me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you
very much.
Very nice to hear you, okay. By the way.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Clint.
All right, that concludes that item, and we're back to where we were, which is to consider postponing the resolution until the next teleconference. And I think everybody spoke to that. That was on the stack. Do we want to take a vote on that, Pat?
I have a brief point of order, process question.
Point of order or a process question?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know Robert's rules of order.
Okay, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, I would request that we do a roll call vote for all votes.
All right. Is there a second for a roll call vote? I don't think you need
that.
A second. I think that we just need to know that there's nobody objects. If there's an objection, then we have to vote on it, I guess, is how it works. So.
Okay.
Okay, so I guess we're ready to vote.
Can you repeat what we're voting on?
Yes,
we're voting on whether or not to postpone discussion, to postpone the item of the resolution under discussion regarding the advancing the truth teleconference until the next teleconference.
Right.
We're voting on that. Yes. Yes means we postpone. No means we. We do not. We take it up count.
Does this require a majority vote?
Simple majority. Simple majority.
I request a roll call vote.
Yeah, we've already agreed to that, Barbara. We're ready to take the roll call vote.
All right.
Go ahead, Bert.
Okay, Dwayne?
Yes.
Is Elizabeth still on the call?
No,
okay. Barton Bruce?
Yes.
Aries Wicker?
Not postponed.
Adam Ruff?
No postponed.
Dennis McMahon?
Do not postpone.
Barbara Honegger?
Postponed, so I guess that's a yes.
Frank Tolofko?
Yes.
Cheryl Curtis?
Yes.
Lorenzo Fine?
Yes.
Paul Zaremka?
No.
George Ripley?
No, and I'd like to make a statement at some point on that.
No, you can't. It's not time for statement. Go ahead, Craig.
James Hufford?
No.
Robin Horton?
No.
Adam Syed? Good luck, Adam. Ned Delaney?
Nope.
Did I miss anyone? I vote no. Did I miss anyone?
What about Ken?
Ken, do you vote? It's not tied?
Only in case of tie.
Oh, in case of tie. Okay. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 votes for no. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 votes for yes. So no's have it.
Okay, so no's have it, so we continue the discussion. Let's see, as we have the stack, I think, Craig, you had spoken to the question, right?
Now, spoken to the question of the resolution or the postponement?
Yeah, of the resolution.
Nobody's spoken to the resolution.
No, I have not. No, I have not.
Well, nobody has.
No one.
Okay. All right, well then, I guess, James, have you spoken to the resolution?
I don't think I was on the stack for that.
You weren't on the stack. Okay, thank you. So, Barbara, I think you're first to speak.
Okay.
I have Barbara Frank. Let me just run down the stack there. Barbara Frank,
DR? Who's that? Who's saying to get some DR?
Barton Bruce?
Barton Bruce? No, but I hadn't asked to be on the stack, so I don't know how that's.
Thank you, Barton. Okay, well, I'll just remove that one. Then Craig, Adam Saeed, and Lorenzo. Does anybody else want to be on the stack to speak to this question?
Yes, I thought I had. It's Barry here, yes.
Barry, that was your name that I had on there, behind Frank.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Sorry to break in. It's Craig. Could you clarify? I had an amendment to propose, and I'm unclear on whether I just wait for my turn and then make it, or how that.
No. When it's your turn to speak, you can do anything relative to this motion.
Okay.
So Barbara, you're first to speak, and then Frank, Barry, Craig, Adam, Saeed. Adam, are you still on the call? Well, we'll call him in turn, and then Lorenzo. Okay, go ahead, Barbara.
Is Adam still on the call? I couldn't hear.
Barbara, you're up now.
Oh, okay.
Your turn to speak to the question of the proposal, of the proposed resolution.
No, just a point of clarification before my comment, and that is, are we, in fact, discussing and then voting on the proposal with the change in language that Paul proposed at the outset of this
public? We are.
We are. Okay. Does anyone not know the proposal? That's the other point of order before my comment. Has everyone read the proposal with that change?
Refresh, please.
Not really.
Well, wait a minute. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, no. Right. No, I just said I don't think that's a point of order.
It's not a point of order. Okay. Right.
Well, I don't know what to call it. I just wanted to make sure that everybody who's voting has read it, because that's important. Okay.
It's their responsibility It's their responsibility to have read it or be familiar with it.
All right.
If not, they need to ask.
All right. Well, my main comment is that I believe this is an incredibly presumptuous resolution, that it's a resolution from the point of view of the SIT advocates who were given three opportunities, three different SIT advocates to actually participate in the Pentagon panel, and all three of them declined. And now for this group to propose to effectively give term to both the organizers of the conference and one or more of the speakers is unbelievably presumptuous, and I think that it's completely inappropriate. That's why I request that everyone vote no. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Frank?
Yes. I'm against the proposals. I don't want to repeat what Barbara said. I certainly agree with her sentiments in terms of it being presumptuous, but as way of explanation of my motion to table and not to, to postpone it until after the conference, based, one, upon the presumptuousness of it, and two, that it should be discussed in light of, within the milieu of fraternal relationships between various 911 truth organizations. I think this is a very important issue that we should discuss, and I don't think it has any bearing about if it's before the conference or after. This is a topic that has to be treated and discussed. So I vote against it because of my understanding of its presumptuousness. On the other hand, it should not be ignored in terms of fraternal relationships between various organizations. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Barry?
I happen to be the seconder of the motion, and I remain so. And also, I happen to be one of those invited to participate in the Washington conference, and I had some early questions, almost misgivings, and then around June the 28th, I felt I had to decline. And Cheryl here will recall, she asked me if I could explain better why, and I sent her a rather long email to explain why, because I feel people who decline something have an obligation to explain just as much as they would if they accepted. And I gave five reasons, and the first one was, and I quote from my email to Cheryl, almost certainly the Pentagon aspect of the event will fall short. And I also said I don't agree with boycotting any 9/11 truth events just because speakers or lack of speakers, but lack of topics, and the approach to topics is more serious. And the third reason I gave was that there had been a lack of a response for a while there from my own queries about the conference and the whole provenance. I said to Cheryl in that email of the conference was not clear to me. So since then, my misgivings grew into an understanding that the conference is flawed in several ways that have been discussed a lot back and forth here. So I think this resolution should be considered helpful to the conference organizers. I mean, they could take it into consideration. It's just moral suasion, if you will, and to the truth movement, and for that matter, to posterity. And to Frank's point, which I think is pretty good too, there can be another resolution post-conference, and probably should be after we see the various outcomes.
Okay, Craig, you're up.
I certainly agree with what Barry just said. I just want to respond to what Barbara said about that it was presumptuous because of the three people who declined. Well, I want to make a couple points. One is that I had several reasons for declining, and they weren't all, you know, necessarily, you know, boycott the conference. There were personal reasons. There was the issue of just, you know, having an invitation as late as I got, which I, you know, was just circumstances, but I didn't feel that I had enough time to do what I would want to do in order to make a presentation. So that was one of the things in addition to some concerns about the conference. So the fact that three people declined is really neither here nor there, because we're talking about a motion that's being made that
actually there's four people we just learned who declined, including Barry's
okay,
record, four declined.
Sure. But my point is that it's neither here nor there that people declined and yet they're still able. In other words, I don't forfeit my right to express a view on the conference simply because I chose not to participate in it. You know, if we weren't saying anything to the conference, then that would indicate we didn't care at all, and we're expressing our view. So, in addition to that, I do have an amendment that I want to propose. I want an addition, another point in after therefore be it resolved. I want to say that conference organizers not refer to the position being taken by Matt Sullivan as, quote, CIT position, unquote, because it implies that CIT are the only ones making the, quote, no airliner impact, close quote, case. Also, because it is impossible for anything described as, quote, the CIT position, unquote, to be articulated in enough detail by someone other than CIT, especially in the short time frame available.
Okay. Did everybody hear the amendment being proposed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does anybody want to second the amendment?
I'll second it. Barry here.
Barry seconds it. Okay. So now we debate the amendment. Who would like to speak to the amendment, against the amendment, because I think Craig's already spoken for it.
What about I move to a vote? Can you do that?
Nope. Well, you can move the previous question if you have the floor, but you don't have the floor. Right now we're taking names to speak to the question of the amendment. Who would like to be on the stack?
I will, Barry.
Barry, who else? Well, Barry, go ahead.
Well, I'll be brief. I don't remember all the words that Craig said, but if I didn't catch the drift correctly, I want anybody to jump up and correct me. Barbara used the word presumptuous, and I didn't think it applied to this resolution. But I think it could apply to somebody trying to get across the CIT evidence who isn't one of the CIT members. It comes close to presumptuous anyway. It's dangerous. It's tricky. it's questionable. And so the heart of what Craig's amendment says, if I understand correctly, is that that shouldn't be allowed to be promoted, that it not be allowed, that the conference organizers be encouraged not to present, not to say that Matt Sullivan's presentation is the CIT position. So I think that's pretty reasonable, if I understand it correctly.
All on the stack.
Okay, Barbara, did you just say you wanted to be on the stack?
No, yes.
Paul said he would.
Okay, Paul. Okay, so Barbara, then Paul. Barbara?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
Barbara, you're up.
Oh, is Barry done?
Yep.
Yes, I think so.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, let Paul go first, please.
Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the reason why I made the slight wording change at the very beginning was basically the same point, that Matt Sullivan is not really speaking for the CIT position. He's speaking for his own position, which may or may not articulate very well or not so well with the CIT position, but he's not a spokesperson for the CIT position.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Barbara?
Okay. Well, I just wanted to point out on the other side of the coin, CIT has a website that makes it excruciatingly clear what their positions are, and anyone can read it. Personally, I am in favor of this amendment simply because it's not necessary. CIT doesn't own the North Side witnesses. Many of, if not most of those witnesses, were interviewed by military historians years and years before CIT even came on the scene. So. I'm actually in favor of the amendment, but I do believe that it's completely appropriate for anyone to read the webpage and summarize the CIT's position. Thank you.
Okay. Nobody else?
This is Cheryl. Could I speak?
Yep. Cheryl, you're next.
Okay, I wanted to respond to Barry. First of all, Barry, for the conference, it was my job to contact you and ask you, and my getting back to you was my own failure and not that of the conference. I was really busy in my personal life, and it just took me a while to get back to you. So that wasn't anything that was, from the conference. That was just me personally, and my apologies to you and the conference people for that. And the other thing is that, we, in doing this conference, we really, in good faith, wanted to address the Pentagon issue and bring together all the different sides and have the discussion. And it seems like any time you bring up the Pentagon, that just can't happen. And so it's very discouraging for me to hear this whole conversation tonight. And that's what we're trying to do with the conference, is to have everyone in the room with the different viewpoints and discuss it in a civilized way. So so it's really disappointing to me that we can't even do that with our good faith effort. So and I just wanted to say that. And if there's anybody on the CIT position who and I don't have the conference's permission to do this, but I'm just putting this out there that maybe you might think about sending someone to represent your position, let us know, and if the group agrees, then we could do that so that, you don't feel like you're not being represented.
Well, that's closed, Cheryl. That's been closed on conference.
Okay. All right. Okay.
This is Bart. Can I go on the stack?
Who? Bart? Yeah, go ahead, Bart.
Yeah. My turn?
Okay.
Yep. Just a really brief comment. I'm with Bob Bowman, who was always very eloquent, and multiple times I heard him talk about, don't get at each other's throats. You may disagree with them, but if you're all heading sort of in the right direction, don't undermine your fellow truthers, because that's the best way to trash the whole thing, and that's an easy way for outsiders to, or evil moles or whatever you want to call them inside, to sabotage you, is to get you all snipping away at each other. And I'm sort of pretty disgusted at what I've been hearing today. That's all.
This is James Hufford. I wrote an article and circulated on it just this week with the same point. I don't know if any of you read it, but that's my point.
Robin on the stack.
Go ahead, Rob.
George on the stack.
Yes,
Robin,
I'm just...
Robin and George.
Thank you. I just want to reinvigorate my position regarding the Pentagon. There are two points. The principal point is that we should build friendly fences in between the various different lines or avenues of investigation, missile overflight, 757, American 77, Boeing 737, military aircraft. Barbara's about exploding aircraft before penetrating the wall. I think that everybody should build friendly fences in between and kind of continue to do that. And then the other point is that I'm hoping that DC will look at this and what I'm saying here as possibly an annual event where we just simply get together to share all
Robin,
of what
we're only speaking. We're only speaking right now about this amendment. Are you speaking to the amendment question?
I was speaking to a comment that was just before mine.
Well, we're focusing right now on Craig's amendment. You're either speaking for or against it, okay?
Okay.
Relative to it. Thank you. George?
Oh, I'd forgotten that we were speaking to Craig's amendment. I thought we were speaking generally about the...
Nope. No, we're still on the amendment. So, if nobody else wants to speak on the amendment, all in favor of Craig's amendment, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay.
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 The ayes have it. The amendment is... we will continue now
This is Dwayne. I abstain.
All right. Dwayne would like to be noted as abstaining. Is that correct, Dwayne? You want that noted for the record?
Yes.
Is that correct?
And Robin
yes.
also.
If no objections, then Dwayne's abstention on the amendment may be noted for the record. Okay. Now we're back to discussing the main resolution, which is the question of the proposed resolution. And I think Adam... Saeed was next to speak. Or Craig, you've already spoken, haven't you?
Yes.
Yes,
he just proposed
that. No, I don't
think
I officially have, but I guess I...
Yeah, no. Barbara's right. You proposed the amendment. That was your turn. Okay, so Adam Saeed, are you back? Are you back on the call? Adam Saeed?
No.
Star 6 if you're muted, Adam. If not, then Lorenzo, you were next to speak.
My considerations have pretty much been spoken on, so I'll pass.
Thank you, Lorenzo. I appreciate that. All right. Is there anybody else that needs to speak to this before we go ahead and take a vote on it?
George on the stack.
Okay, George, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to suggest that other amendments might be made to this. Is it possible? I mean, are we going to have a chance to talk about these resolutions, be it resolved, blah, 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 point by point, or do we have to...
George, you have the floor, and you may do with it what you wish. If you wish to make an amendment, make it, okay?
Okay, well, I'd like to make an amendment that we leave out the section on the consensus and also the section on that speakers will be chosen by lot because that's already been decided. And the as regards the consensus thing, we realized way back when this argument first started that consensus might not be the right term to use.
Hold. Before you go on, you're making a motion to remove the item about consensus. Is that correct?
And also the item about speakers being decided by lot. Since that's already been decided.
Well, wait, before you speak to it, is there a second to George's amendment?
I second.
Who's me?
Barbara.
Barbara's seconding George's amendment. Okay.
Are you clear on the consensus portion whereby we decided, we changed, there hasn't been a reference to this being a consensus statement. For a long time, it has the idea of a conference resolution is still being considered and discussed, but it's not a quote consensus statement. And so, if that changes anybody's opinion, I'd like to leave that out. I think it's perfectly valid for the conference to come up with a statement. And
you want to speak? You want to speak to the question of deciding by lot as well while you have the floor?
Well, it's already been determined that we're not going to. Whether we are going to decide the speakers by lot.
All right, speaking order will be decided by lot. It's already part of the part of the process of the conference. Okay, so George has spoken. Would anybody else like to speak to George's
Paul.
Amendment?
Paul on this.
Paul, go. Paul, and who else?
Craig.
Barry.
Okay. Okay, one moment here. Paul, Craig, Terry, who else? All right, Paul, you have the floor.
Yes, first of all, I'm going to ask later that the votes be separated for these two questions because I might...
Well, that's no, you can't do it later. You got to do it now. You want to
okay,
you want to move to...
That the two votes be separated.
Okay, you move to divide the question. Okay,
yeah, divide the question, right.
Seconded.
So, is there any objection to dividing the question and taking this up as two separate amendments? Hearing no objection, then we will take them up serially. And the first one will be the question of deciding by lot. So, would you like to speak to that while you have the floor there, Paul?
If I understand George correctly, is that you confirm that that's already been decided and doesn't our statement today. Is that correct, George?
Correct.
Okay, I am in favor of the amendment.
Okay.
Hi, Barbara?
Yeah.
Craig is next. Wait. I'm sorry. Yeah, Craig is next.
Okay, yeah, I hope to get on the stack for the other half, too. But, I would support it as well because, if it's been decided, then it's not necessary.
Does anybody wish to speak against George's amendment regarding the question of deciding speaking order by lot? Does anybody wish to speak against it?
Yes, it's Barbara. I'm on the stack.
You're not on the stack for George's amendment. That's a different stack.
No, I'm on the stack for the question of the lot.
Well, you are now. Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. Craig is ahead of you. Then Barry, then you can speak.
All right.
Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, no, I basically, my comment, okay. I wanted to comment on the other half, so I'm fine with dropping the lot.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Barbara, I guess you can go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Barbara.
Okay, well, my understanding from the organizers' conference calls on for the conference is different than George's. My clear understanding was that, first off, we can't speak for Matt, who is the organizer of that session, only he can. However, on our organizers' calls, my clear understanding is that Matt made this statement. He said they will either be determined by lot at the event, or the three speakers can determine that amongst themselves by agreement in advance. So that's not quite true, I don't think, George, that that is Matt's position, that they will be determined by lot, although that's signed by me, and I actually proposed it. So I don't know if that makes a difference in the language of this amendment or not. That's up to George.
Well, I missed the nuance, but I think if I missed that, if that's the case and it bothers people, they can rewrite the amendment to address that additional tidbit.
Okay. All right. So. Let's go ahead and take a vote on the amendment. All in favor of removing the item in the resolution regarding the speaking order being decided by lot, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Okay,
nay.
The ayes have it, so we will remove that item from further consideration. Now we move to the question of the consensus statement amendment, removing that item. Who would like to speak to that?
It's the conference resolution. George here.
All right, George, you can speak to it first, and then who? Then Craig, and then
Craig.
Who else?
Barry.
Barry, who else?
Paul.
Go ahead, George. Oh, Paul, okay, gotcha. Go ahead, George.
Well, This is the idea that we are going to be a gathering of people who can think things through and can form some opinions and some ideas afterwards that we would like to make address to the powers that be with regards to those things we agree about and it would be a next step, a where to from here, which is really what this is all about. We have got to put the ball in their court. It seems to me that that would be very desirable. And there's no reason why that we couldn't come up with a statement that the conference could agree would be a good demand to make on the powers that be. That's all.
Craig?
Yeah, one quick comment about the last vote. I kind of regret how that sort of happened because, frankly, based on the information that I would like to have spoken against that amendment. Anyway, not the end of the world. On the one we're talking about, I mean, it seems to me that George is articulating what he said in the past, which is that he wants a statement whereby the conference demands that the government hand over evidence that it's been withholding. And first, I mean, on one level, this seems sort of like, you know, it sounds awfully predetermined to me that this is sort of what he seems to want to be in this statement, whether it's accurate to call it a consensus statement or not. So, Mike, I have a concern about that, but I also just, the very nature of demanding that the government release evidence it hasn't released, I think is highly problematic, because it's basically saying we can't determine this unless the government supplies us with the information that we need, which I just think is bad. So nothing, frankly, that I've heard tonight allays any of my concerns about how fruitless.
No, George, you don't have the floor. Craig has the floor. Go ahead, Craig.
How fruitless and unnecessary, I think, you know, a consensus statement, whether we call it that or a conference statement, I believe is the term they use in the actual material from the conference. I just don't see any upside to it at all. So I would be against that.
Okay, Barry.
Yes, I think that the long and interesting and valuable discussion we had with Elizabeth about the consensus panel gives some idea of the problems that can emerge when consensus is required. There are a lot of important conferences and meetings of all kinds that do not issue a consensus statement. And so it's really not necessary, but it's dangerous. It's dangerous to entertain the idea of doing it because of the various points that were actually raised with Elizabeth. Who is bringing their lobbying, if you will, or their ideas or their strength to bear on this statement? Who finally determines and mashes it into a consensus? What result does that have? What outcomes come from it? And I think that this deserves to be in this resolution just as a caution, as a cautionary statement. And I hope that there'll be other means of the outcomes of the conference being reported other than a consensus statement.
George on the stack.
Well, we'll have to see about that, George. Because you've already spoken. Paul, the next.
Yes, I am quite a bit against this, the amendment to delete, and I want to make it clear to George for the moment that the resolution, the amendment you're talking about is not about the whole conference. It's only about the Pentagon event.
That's not true at all.
I'm just talking about what the resolution says, not what you say. I'm talking about what the resolution says.
It's not clear at all.
The idea of a consensus statement on the Pentagon event, not the entertainment. On the Pentagon event.
You're misinterpreting the whole nature of the thing.
I'm sorry, George. You're out of order. Paul, are you finished?
Well, let me just say, if I can just speak from my own, the language that's there, the intent is that whatever about the rest, I'm not talking about anything about the rest of the cover. I'm talking about there was an event at the Pentagon, which is there's 4 hours being dealt with on the Pentagon, and I'm simply saying that we have the power if we want. Nobody has to pay any attention to us, but the teleconference can recommend that a consensus statement not be entertained on the Pentagon event, period. That's all I'm saying in that resolution. I think that is probably the single most important of the resolutions. I mean, the other ones are kind of whatever, but that's the single one which has some kind of really a statement being made there. And the reasoning behind it, I think Barry Zwicker has expressed very well. It's dangerous to try and make a consensus out of the Pentagon event, particularly when we've already heard tonight that there is outside in the 9/11 world already a consensus. It seems to be going in the opposite direction, at least a good part of this conference. So I just don't think the conference ought to...
Paul, I agree.
Paul, I'd like to try to facilitate here for a second. Would you be open to amending this, to proposing an amendment here where this would read that the idea of a consensus statement on what happened or didn't happen at the Pentagon event not be entertained for the purposes of clarity?
Yeah, sure. That's the same.
Okay. Yeah. Does anybody have an objection to that change of wording?
Yes, I do, Barbara.
Barbara? Okay. Paul, would you care to make that proposal, and then we can debate it?
Can you read your? I mean, you used your word.
Yeah. My suggestion to you for a proposal was that this read that the idea of a consensus statement on what happened or did not happen at the Pentagon, what happened or did not happen at the Pentagon, and I'm not doing this because I'm not trying to move people in the direction of agreeing.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
I'm just trying to get clarification here because
I understand. Jen, I'm okay.
Okay.
So, but then the words after that would not be entertained. Still, that's still there, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I make that amendment.
All right.
Robin Norton.
Does anybody have an objection to that change of word? I'm sorry. But is there a second to Paul's amendment?
Seconded, Robin.
Can you please say what the new language is?
Yes, the new language would be that the idea of a consensus statement on what happened or did not happen at the Pentagon not be entertained. Okay. That would be the new wording of this particular item that we're debating at this point, in order to clarify what the intent is. Any objection to that change in wording?
Oh, yes.
Okay, hearing none. Okay, Barbara, do you have an objection?
Well, yes, I have an objection to the entire resolution, and therefore to also that clause.
No. We're not voting on the resolution. We're not even debating the resolution. We're debating whether or not
that. I understand that, but I have an objection to that clause because it's part of the entire resolution. That's my
no,
but do you have an objection to the change in wording so that it can be clarified what it is that we're actually talking about here?
Well, I think the vote is on whether to remove that particular clause.
No, at the moment, the vote is only as to whether to allow the change of wording that has been moved and seconded. Okay.
Right.
Thank you. So, if there's no objection, then we will change that wording for the sake of clarity to that the idea of a consensus statement on what happened or did not happen at the Pentagon not be entertained. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So now we're back into the question of whether or not to remove this particular item, okay? And who was next to speak?
George on the stack.
I think Paul had spoken, so George, I guess you can go ahead.
I feel a need to really, I apologize. I think I have a need to apologize that this idea came across as all that we've been discussing. That it, the idea that, of course, we couldn't come out with a consensus statement about what happened at the Pentagon. That wasn't the idea, really. The idea really was that we could come out with a demand for the release of information that we all agree has been
George, that's kind of out of order here because that's not even being proposed right now. Nobody's suggesting that the conference would not be able to do that, okay, or supposing if they don't do that.
Okay, but that's the history of it.
Got it.
We have people saying that they don't even want the videos released.
All right, fine. Well, that's off topic right now, okay? What we need to do is we're already 37 minutes past our normal deadline. Let's not expatiate this, please. All right, so now we are still on the question. Are we ready to vote then on the question of whether or not this item should be removed? And it reads that the idea of a consensus statement on what happened or did not happen at the Pentagon not be entertained. Okay? All right, all in favor of removing this item, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay.
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 Call for a vote.
Yep. Go ahead and take the roll, Craig, please.
Could I ask? I didn't. This is Robin. I didn't.
Call for vote came in the middle of people answering, but.
Can you? I'm sorry, I'm slow here. Can you clarify how we're voting? Aye or nay? What does it mean?
I will clarify how we're voting. We are voting as to whether or not this resolution on which we will be voting later contain this item, that the idea of a consensus statement on what happened or did not happen at the Pentagon not be entertained. A vote of yes is a vote to remove it. A vote of no is a vote to keep it.
May I step in and say again, this is not a consensus.
No, you may not.
You may not,
George. You're out of order. I'm sorry, you're out of order.
Ken, this is Robin. I'm sorry. Can you?
If you want to raise a point of order, you can, George. But if otherwise, we need to move along. Okay.
Point of order. It's not a
point of order.
Situation is with being decided by lot. Long ago, we dropped the consensus.
No, we're not even talking about lot. Lot has been removed.
Exactly.
We're not even talking about that. You're not listening. This is about the question of a consensus statement on what happened or did not happen at the Pentagon. Okay.
Right. Exactly. I'm just comparing the two. We've already changed. Consensus statement no longer exists anyway.
No, I don't think that's true.
No, it's not. You're out of order. You're out of order. Come on. Let's go ahead and take the roll call. A vote of yes is a vote to remove. A vote of no is a vote to keep this item in the resolution that we have yet to vote on.
Okay, so if you keep it in the resolution, we do not entertain the consensus. So it's a double negative?
Well, unfortunately, it turns out that way, because the motion is to remove it, okay? That's the amendment. The amendment is a motion to remove. So
okay. If
you vote yes, you vote to remove. If you vote no, you vote to keep, okay? Go ahead, Craig.
Okay, Dwayne?
Yes.
Elizabeth Gunn, Barton?
Yes.
I'm trying to, forgive me if I'm going to the floor here, but I've got so many yeses and noes on my pad here, I just don't want to make any mistakes. So, Mary?
Yes means to remove, no means to keep it.
Right. Barry Zwicker?
No.
No. Adam Ruff?
No.
Dennis McMahon?
No.
Barbara Honegger?
Yes.
Frank Tolopko?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Cheryl Curtis?
Yes.
Lorenzo Fine?
This has got me so confused, I'm going to abstain.
Okay, that's fine. I'll clarify it again. If you vote yes, you vote to remove this item from the consensus, from the resolution that we will be voting on later. If you vote no, you vote to keep it in there. Okay?
Again,
do you understand what
there's so much inside, outside, and backwards stuff going on around this. I'm going to continue to abstain.
Okay.
Okay. Paul Zaremka?
No.
George Ripley?
Yes.
James Hufford?
Yes.
Robin Horton?
No.
Still no Adam Syed. Ned Delaney? Ned's gone? Okay, so let me count this up here. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yes?
No, 7 yes.
Okay, hold on. Let me just do this again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You're right. Sorry. Nose, we have... Beg your pardon?
Greg, I don't see you vote.
No, I'm you're right. I'm sorry. You're right. I vote no. So let me count the no's in. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I count 6
Hello.
No's.
I got 6.
Hello,
the yeses prevail, and the item will be removed from the resolution under consideration. Okay. So
I have a motion to remove another item.
Paul, remember, wait a minute. See where we're at on the stack here.
Is Adam Syed back on the call?
Oh,
let's see. Lorenzo, did you speak yet, Lorenzo?
No,
yeah,
I haven't.
You did speak yet. No, okay, you're next to speak.
I believe I'm on the stack.
I'm sorry, who wants to be on the stack?
Paul.
Paul, and who else?
What's
okay.
The stack for, please? What's the stack for?
The whole resolution.
Oh, we're back to speaking on the main resolution.
Oh, I have an amendment on the resolution.
Well, I'll put you on the stack. Okay. Go ahead, Lorenzo.
I am not on the stack.
All right, George?
I'm not on the stack.
Thank you. Paul?
Yes, let me just make a statement that I myself will most probably vote against the entire resolution given the last amendment, which took out the consensus, that the consensus will not be entertained, but I'm going to continue to listen in case people can persuade me otherwise.
See, that's Frank, because the consensus...
Who said that? Frank
on the stack.
Paul Zaremka was speaking. That was Paul Zaremka speaking.
This is a double negative. We have it.
Frank on the stack.
I couldn't hear. What did Paul say? That he'd vote against his own resolution?
Yes.
Yes.
You want to repeat it, Paul?
Yeah, I'm voting. I intend, I'm at this point, unless somebody can persuade me otherwise, I'm intending to vote against the resolution I introduced because of the last amendment, which removed the clause of the consensus panel by a 7-6 vote.
Frank on the stack.
Barbara and then Frank.
Am I next?
Yep.
Well, I was going to... Let me just say the motions I was going to just make, and I can make them after my comments. But having just heard what Paul said, I would move to ask Paul to withdraw the resolution now.
It's not my property.
It's not his property. No, you can't. It doesn't belong to Paul anymore.
Just a moment, please. You've allowed Paul to make changes to his own resolution, surely he can withdraw his
resolution. No, I did not. The group did. You have to remember, the group voted on that. The group accepted his...
All right, then I will change my motion then to move that the resolution be withdrawn, seeing as Paul has now in a position not to vote on his own resolution.
Barbara, the resolution cannot be withdrawn. It can simply be You can move to postpone it indefinitely, as you always can. That would take a 2/3 vote. If people vote 2/3, we're done with it, okay? That's
all
how
right,
you do
then
it.
Then I go back to my original amendments I was just going to say.
Okay.
In the clause that says, the recommends, as it is, it says, that the teleconference recommends that in addition to fully laying out the SIT research that Matt Sullivan do blah, blah, blah. We have already, at Paul's agreement, he has already changed a reference to SIT research to a more general statement about no airliner hitting the Pentagon. I think that language with Paul's agreement should be inserted there in addition. In other words,
Barbara, just give us the language that you would like in there. Okay, that's the way we have to do this, so it's clear what you're asking.
I have two motions. The first one is to delete the clause that says, remove the clause that says, whereas Joint Dietz and Barbara Honegger are speaking at the Pentagon event without significant elements of their positions having been carefully vetted by others, I move to have that removed. That is certainly not true of my position. Dwayne could speak to it himself. Do I hear a second?
Okay. Is there a second? Who seconded it?
James.
Okay, Barry, that's you. Oh, James. I'm sorry, James. Okay, so it's been moved and seconded to remove the whereas Dwayne Dietz and Barbara Honegger are speaking on the Pentagon event without significant elements of their position having been carefully vetted by others premise. So we now move into debate of that amendment. Who would like to speak to that amendment?
I would.
All right, Barbara, you get to motivate it because you're first. Who else? Because you were introduced. And who else would like to speak?
Adam Bruff.
Adam Bruff. And who else? Okay. Barbara, go first.
Yeah, well, I'd like to hear from Dwayne. I don't know if he spoke up, but my position has been very much vetted by others. Dozens and dozens of leaders of the 9/11 Truth Movement are quoted in my Behind the Smoke Curtain. I don't think it's really fair, as Dwayne has just changed his position, to lump us together in this particular clause. But it is not true of me. So maybe I would change my motion to remove my name from that, and then Dwayne could have another motion to remove the whole clause.
First, you're going to have to withdraw your other motion and ask everybody to allow that because you've already seconded.
Okay, I withdraw my other motion and I'd like to rephrase it.
Any objection to the withdrawal of the motion on the floor? Hearing none, then you can go ahead and make your other motion.
Okay, my motion is to remove my name, Barbara Honegger, from the clause that says, whereas Dwayne Dietz and Barbara Honegger are speaking on the Pentagon event without significant elements of their positions having been carefully vetted by others.
Okay.
Is there a second? And I would hope
second.
That Dwayne would give a motion as well.
Is there a second to Barbara's request for the removal of her name from that item?
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Who wants to speak to it? Barbara, I think you've already spoken to it. Who else would like to speak to it?
George.
Oh, Fred, George, yeah. Go ahead.
I think it's fairly obvious.
I'm sorry. There was somebody else. Adam, you wanted to speak to it, didn't you?
Yes.
Adam Ruff?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Adam, George.
I would like to move for an immediate dismissal of the entire resolution in the interest of time saving.
Okay, there's a motion to postpone this question indefinitely. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded to postpone indefinitely. This is not a debatable resolution. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? The motion is dropped. So we are now free to do any other business we want to, but it's 10:21. How many people can, I'd like the people that can stay on the call to continue the agenda to say aye.
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 All right, that's probably enough to continue. Where are we at here? We are at, does
the
report on the members?
Have we dropped the entire resolution?
Yes,
yeah.
It's gone.
All right, thank you.
The future, let's see, before, I'll tell you what, I would suggest that we take up this question that Ned Delaney, and Ned, are you on the call? You still here with us, Ned?
Nope.
Ned Delaney, *6 if you're muted. Wow, I guess we lost Ned. Well, okay, never mind Ned then.
All right, so the next item on the agenda is the future of the 9/11 Truth Teleconference report on the member survey and the question of relaxing the requirement about how many conference or participating conference calls to continue on the telecon listserv. Craig, go ahead.
Yeah, very quick. I mean, I wanted to do part of this is to report on the survey that was sent out before. Just asking people for their input on the teleconference, why perhaps they, you know, had drifted away from it, whether they thought there were things that could be changed or improved. So I got some responses back to that. About 15 people, many of them who are on the call tonight, actually probably most of the ones who responded are the ones that have been on the last two calls. And you know, people had a variety of different issues and concerns. A lot of people just got busy and were pursuing 9/11 truths in other areas. Some people, I think, felt that the call had become too adversarial and too acrimonious, in particular because of perhaps one or two members that are no longer on the call. Others just felt that it wasn't, you know, it wasn't as productive as it could be for a variety of reasons. But most people were very supportive and said, you know, they wanted it to continue. They think it has a real place. So I would say overall the response was quite positive. I think people just drifted off and for different reasons. And when we all came back last month, so many people returned to the call. I think we had a great call. And tonight, even though people perhaps won't be thrilled with how the call went, I think it was a great discussion, however you look at it, because we had so many of us. We had 17 people on the call. So, you know, anybody that's interested in more details of exactly what different people said, I certainly can provide that. But in the interest of time, I won't get into too much detail. But that was the gist of it. And most people were very positive about the teleconference continuing. The motion I wanted to make, just because I was relating to the fact that after 3 months of non-participation in the call, that members are dropped from the listserv, I felt that was maybe a little bit harsh because basically if people drop off for one reason or another, then once they're dropped from the listserv, then it almost encourages them not to return. So my proposal would be that we change that from 3 months to 6 months, and give people an opportunity to return to the call and not lose their place on the listserv. So if there's anybody has any questions about, then I'll be glad to answer them, but that's my motion anyway. We change that from 3 months to 6 months.
I second.
Got a friendly amendment.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Who has a friendly amendment?
George.
George, go ahead.
That people who have been dropped off be contacted and made aware that, you know, they should be invited back on.
They are. That's being done.
Okay.
Robin with a friendly amendment.
Robin?
My friendly amendment would be that there are no criteria for dropping off the list, no matter how weekly you've attended it.
That's not a friendly amendment. That's an alternative proposal.
Oh.
Because that's asking to do something different. But you can do that. You can say that you'd like to offer a substitute proposal.
All right, that's my substitute proposal, that we are, instead of shooting ourselves in the foot, we should just drop that entire line and just keep emailing and keep.
Okay, so we've got a substitute proposal, or an alternative proposal, I should say, of having no requirement versus the, okay. Well, that's been moved and seconded as well. So we first take up the substitute or the alternative. Does anybody have anything to say about the second proposal?
Barry, yeah.
Barry?
Yeah, I think that every organization needs a little bit of discipline, just you know, light discipline or clear guidelines for operation. And I think with mailing lists, any of us who've been dealing with them for years, as I have, know that there comes a time when you have to purge a mailing list because the interest isn't there. So I think 6 months is pretty reasonable.
Okay. Lorenzo?
Anybody else?
Lorenzo.
Lorenzo and then George. Lorenzo and then George.
Okay.
And
I'm supporting the unlimited with, of course, the option for anyone who has subscribed to opt out.
Okay. You understand what this means? It means that people would not need to participate in a teleconference in order to be on the teleconference listserv. That would mean. Okay. Just to be clear on that. All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Who else would like to speak to the second point?
Barton.
Barton, go ahead. I'm sorry, George is next, and then Barton.
I'm going to pass.
And Barbara. I've been saying three times.
All right. Barbara and then Barton. Okay. Barton?
I thought it was Barbara first.
I'm sorry. Barton and then Barbara. I said it backwards. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Some people have, you know, all kinds of other things they're involved which are all relevant, and they want to watch the thing carefully. And they may be watching for what's on the schedule, and they will shuffle their priorities dynamically, like not come to this conference because there's other things that they deem more important. But they are very interested in watching it. It's not as though they're trying to totally abandon it, but they do need some sleep every few days. And so just hard cutting them off at even 6 months, which is much better than three, it might be a little ruthless. And if you're going to be doing it and you're going to let them know afterwards you just got dropped, why not some wake-up things before that if you have to do it at six, so that there's a, gee, you're at 4 months, we haven't heard from you, but, you know, like get more wake-up calls in between.
I need to speak to that and also to clarify something. The answer to your question is because I would have to do it. And I'm already the one who's responsible for removing people after several months, okay? And I don't really have the time and the energy to be constantly policing who's on and who's not been there, who needs a warning and all this other stuff. I just don't have the time for it.
Well,
if you have the volunteer for it, suppose that I would be in favor of that. But otherwise, I really don't have the energy, okay?
If you had somebody who had the scripting capabilities to automate it, it would be probably relatively simple, but I don't know how your data is set up. I'm not volunteering. I'm just making a comment.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. And then the other thing I wanted to clarify was, I lost that. Sorry, go ahead, Barbara.
No, I actually have a clarification question, I guess, for Ken then. And that is, Ken, I'm going to state what I think is the case, and then correct me if it's incorrect. I believe that the situation now is that all of these people on all of these draft agendas and agendas that says this draft agenda sent to, beginning with Richard Gage, there are 100 names or so.
Right.
That right now,
what
happened?
Barbara, did we lose you?
Yeah, I think she accidentally dropped out.
Okay, but you know what? Barbara was bringing up the very point that I wanted to bring up, which is that I think there's a confusion here, possibly, between the question of being invited to the listserv, receiving the listserv draft agendas and the listserv minutes, versus being on the list on the, I'm sorry, the teleconference minutes and the draft agenda, versus being on our listserv. Our listserv is just a discussion forum. It's a special discussion forum for people who are frequented on the conference. It's for side discussions to have between conferences. But nobody is ever dropped without their permission from our invitee list. Everybody on the invitee list will always receive the draft agendas, the invitation to the conference information, and the minutes of the conference. That is not what it's an issue here. The question is simply about the listserv, where we have discussions pertinent to whatever people want to talk about, okay, open forum on 9/11 issues. That is where we've had trouble in the past that caused some people to want a restriction so that people could not just come to teleconference and, you know, do what they wanted to do, but I'm sorry, come to listen and do what they want to do, but never come on the teleconference and never participate in the teleconference. That's what this is about, okay? Just to clarify for the benefit of new people.
to where we were. Who else would like to speak?
Craig?
Craig.
We're still speaking. We're still talking about the amendment then, right? Or the sub, the
We're still looking at the second proposal. We're still discussing.
Right.
We're giving people an opportunity to amend that or whatever they want to do. Then we'll move back to the original one. Then we'll decide which if we want either one. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I just basically want to quickly echo. I think what Barry said.
I made a mistake. Because we already have a policy, we can only entertain one proposal at a time. However, the second one can be considered a substitute in the event that the first one doesn't pass, okay? We can do it that way.
Oh, okay.
Because you can only have two on the table at one time, and we already have the existing one, which is 3 months. So it's 3 months or 6 months, and then after that, it would be appropriate to...
Sorry, I was cut off. I'm back. Sorry.
Barbara, thank you for raising the point that you raised. That was the very one that I had forgotten. But I clarified for everybody that the invitee list is not something that we ever take anybody off of without their permission. Those people always receive the draft agendas and the minutes, and that is not something that is at issue here. This is only the listserv, the discussion forum, okay, that we're talking about.
George,
okay. George, go ahead.
Well, I don't see a reason to limit the size of the listserv at all. It seems to me that listservs are very valuable for organizing purposes, and we may very well have serious organizing purposes. At some point, maybe you should be paid.
Well, that would be
different.
But in the meantime, we're dealing with the scarcity of labor, okay?
I want to pay
for it. Do I hear a motion?
So, thank you, George. And who else would like to speak before we go ahead and take a vote? All right. So the first vote is between the existing policy of 3 months and Craig's proposal for 6 months. Okay. So all in favor of Craig's 6 month proposal versus the existing 3 month proposal, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. All right, that motion carries. Now we have to look to take up the substitute motion that was offered that we discussed. So now the question is whether you want to stay with 6 months or whether we want to move to no restrictions. Okay?
Point of order?
Yes, go ahead.
Ken, didn't I understand that you had said that the second one would only be entertained if the first one did not pass?
Well, that's the way that you present it, but it's because he made that motion, and he's free to make that motion, we have to give it consideration, okay?
Well,
there's no way we can have a three-way vote, okay? You don't do three-way votes, so that's why we have to do one at a time. So now it's just between the 6 month versus no restriction, okay? So the new vote, the new question is whether we should replace the existing policy of 6 months with an unrestricted policy. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay.
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 Please take the roll, Craig.
Sounded like 3-3 to me.
Did we have sufficient discussion on that? I thought we jumped into the vote pretty quick.
Well, we discussed each one, and then we take a vote. But if you wish to speak to something, George, I'll give you the opportunity. Go ahead.
Well, again, I
you already spoke, didn't you?
I guess I did. I just felt that we were voting on something else, though, when I spoke on that.
No, no. Well...
Well, you got my point. Yeah. I think that the longer the list, the better we have it.
Yeah. Okay.
So quick refresh, how we're voting, which way it's...
Okay. The existing policy now is a 6 month. You have to have attended one teleconference in the last 6 months to remain on the listserv. The proposal is to replace that with an unrestricted policy. You don't have to be on the teleconference at all in order to be on the listserv. You simply have to have attended one some point in time. So that would be the alternative. And that's, if you vote yes, you're voting for this newer
proposal. Okay?
This
all
is
in favor of
the
policy. Go ahead, Craig, take the roll. You don't vote yes, you're voting for the new policy, the unrestricted. Go ahead, Craig.
Okay, Dwayne? Dwayne's gone. Barton?
Yes.
Barry?
No.
Adam Ruff? He's gone. Adam Syed? Not back. Dennis McMahon?
I'm sorry, this
okay,
is Adam Ruff.
Oh, sorry, what was your vote, Adam?
I vote no.
No, okay. Dennis McMahon? Not there. Barbara Honegger?
Yes.
Frank Tolocco? Frank's gone. Cheryl Curtis?
Yes.
Lorenzo Fine?
Yes.
Paul Zaremka? Paul's gone. James Hufford?
No.
George Rifley?
Yes.
Robin Horton?
Yes.
Ned Delaney? Somebody just come back on? Okay. I guess Ned's not on the call anymore. I'll vote no. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4 no's, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 yeses.
Okay. So the minutes will reflect that we no longer have a participation requirement other than an original participation in a telephone call, in a teleconference for the listener. Okay. One other item that we must really take up tonight is just so you all.
I thought you just contradicted the vote. I don't understand when you gave your qualification clause there, Ken. Can you explain that again?
Oh, the qualification has always been the understanding has always been that that the listserv is for people who are on the teleconference. So you must have been on at least one teleconference to get on it in the first place.
In the first place. I see. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank
all right.
You.
So just so that you all are aware, even though Ned's not here to discuss this, and Ned is the one who's been facilitating this, Christopher Boleyn has offered to meet with us, okay, on a teleconference. The problem is that because he lives in Europe at this time, he is not able to meet with us at our time. So the opportunity exists if we wanted to have a special teleconference or a rescheduled teleconference for 1 month to, say, have on like a Saturday or something like that during the day where he could join us. So I just want to throw that out there. We won't vote on it this time because Ned's not here to promote it, but I just wanted to make people aware of that opportunity that Christopher Boleyn is willing to try to meet with us at some point would give us
a
great opportunity.
Do we know approximately what time, our time in the U.S. that would be? You have any idea?
Yeah, I think we figured out it would have to be, it could be like in the early afternoon or something like that would work for him. Our early afternoon would work for him.
Where's he in Europe?
Sweden. Why is he in Europe? Because they beat the crap out of him when he was over here.
Is he in the UK or is he in Eastern Europe?
He's in Sweden.
No, I think he's in Sweden.
Okay.
Good idea.
So, be thinking about that, and maybe if you can come up with a constructive proposal, anybody can between now and then, it would be very helpful. I certainly, for one, would really like to have that opportunity to meet with them compare notes. So
I second that.
Maybe we could bring that up the next time. We'll put that higher up on the agenda for next time if that's okay with everyone so we don't miss it yet. And Ned doesn't disappear.
Can I propose that maybe Craig or Ken ask Ned to maybe send us a short email about what he had in mind that he didn't get to say?
I will do that. I will do that. You mean through the larger one, Barbara, our invitee list, or
No, I mean, just it would be nice to, I think you're proposing, Ken, that you will simply move this item 8 up on the next month's agenda, but between now and next month, it would be nice if Ned could send a short email that would go
when you say send an email, I need to know under what, in what venue. Do you mean through our invitee list of 125 people, or do you mean on our telecom, on our listserv? Which one?
Every list you have.
Whatever you think is appropriate. I would expect, because Christopher Bolin is so well known and respected, that it would go to the whole longer list. But that's
okay.
My idea.
That's an unusual thing, but since it's been proposed, does anybody have an objection to using it for that? Hearing none, then I'll go ahead and do that and ask Ned to put something together. We'll send it out to everybody like we did this month for the other thing. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then let's see. I think that's it. Barry, we missed Barry's item tonight, unfortunately. We'll have to get to that next month. Okay, Barry?
No, we're
here. Well, we're all here.
Well, okay, but it's 10:43, and we usually quit at 9:30. Right?
At least give them a topical discussion.
I tell you what. Let's give it five minutes and see what happens. Okay? Barry would like comments on anybody's thoughts on rethinking 9/11. Updates and critical comments and so forth. Okay? So let's. Since he's got it on the agenda, let's go ahead and do a few minutes with that before we sign off. Anybody have a comment? Or Barry, do you want to say anything about it?
Well, I'm not any happier, really, about it being this late than anyone else. And it's a terrible thing to be a tail end Charlie, really, in anything. But briefly, your ode to reason for me. Being really on a fishing expedition, if you will, about rethinking 9/11, because I found myself in the position of leading the charge here in Toronto about our event at Yonge and Dundas, that's the main square, on September 11th. So it's a good thing that we take another 4 minutes on this here, because next month would be too late. And I just have a couple of minor, and I emphasize minor, concerns now that I'm working with Rethink 9/11. And so it's a fishing expedition, and if anybody has just anything to offer, I'm open to catching rainbow trout or catching suckers and tips about how to deal with Rethink 9/11, rethinking 9/11.
Robin on the stack?
Lorenzo on
Barbara,
the stack.
I'm sorry, Robin, and then who?
Lorenzo.
Robin, Lorenzo, Barbara, is it you two?
Yep.
George.
Okay, Barbara, Lorenzo, or Robin, Lorenzo, then Barbara.
Barry, hey, I've gone around and around with A&E, and actually everybody who's talked about WTC7 since they started with the Building What and other stupidly identified programs, and I'm in Gage's nose right now saying, very clearly, why didn't you put on your signage, okay, WTC7, and they didn't, okay? So they ask a question and don't even provide an answer that would get the information out to the general public. So I unilaterally do my work between 1 and 5 times a week up here in the Puget Sound and painted some signs that talk about, did you know a third tower fell on 9/11? And then I put WTC7 on the big poster and the sign, and it is very, very helpful. What I find out is still people do not know about the third tower, okay? And for them to, like, presume that they have a promoting program about WTC7 and then not even mention WTC7 is absurd. If I were infiltrating their movement, I would make sure that they asked a question and didn't provide the answer. Man, this is unbelievably frustrating with that group of people who have got their heads right up their asses. Over.
Okay. Wow. Lorenzo?
Rethinking 9/11 is a lot more than building number 7. And the high numbers that architects and engineers get as compared to organizations like CIT and the pilots for 9/11 Truth, who I both have, I believe, have contributed an awful lot in their areas of expertise and knowledge, and it just really has to be kept open. And rethinking 9/11 is not just about one aspect of this, although it's definitely an eye opener.
Hmm.
Okay.
Jack.
Barbara? I'm sorry, who wants to be on the stack?
George.
Okay. Barbara,
Craig.
Are you next?
Craig.
And
Craig.
Then, Craig. Okay, that's Craig.
Well, when Barry said he was on a fishing expedition, I was kind of expecting a little bit more of a question that he wanted us to answer, but I can just throw, and I would hope, Barry, you would do that here after you've heard from everybody. But I would like to just say that from working with Mike Figa, who is one of the main organizers up until 2 days ago, he's now back in Boston. He flew out to California to be with Richard Gage and the folks who are actually organizing Rethink for about a month, and now he's back in Boston just a day ago. He is incredibly frustrated himself from the inside of the organization. But the upside is that they very consciously called it Rethink 9/11 without mentioning World Trade Center 7 this time, in order to broaden it to everything, even though when you then, because it's sponsored by architects and engineers, you go to their website and you find out that they're really only about the towers and not about Pennsylvania or the Pentagon and won't go there either place. Nevertheless, they did intentionally broaden it with their name, Rethinking 9/11, and in New York City, under the big 50-foot by 50-foot billboard, on September 11th, the anniversary, they will be holding their event explicitly about World Trade Center 7, because they are holding it beginning at 5:20 when World Trade Center 7 collapsed, and it's going to be all about World Trade Center 7. So those are my comments.
Right.
Thank you, Barbara. George?
Well, Rethinking 9/11, I guess we're thinking outside the box right now, right? We're brainstorming. I just wanted to throw in my two bits about this conference that we've been talking about earlier, not being the last conference, but far from it, that Rethink 9/11 be rebranded to become somewhat of a conference organizing entity. And I've talked to Mike Figa about that. He likes the idea. And so that would be an opportunity for many people on this teleconference to organize a conference of their own or themselves, and that Rethink 9/11 would be able to assist in that in any conference effort with speakers and suggestions and promotional material and so forth.
Okay.
You're here.
Craig?
Yeah, I don't know if I have a whole lot to add about, because I really want to learn more about sort of where the campaign stands right now. And so I guess I more want to ask a question than actually give an answer. Because I originally, was it Laura Caitlin that we had on our call 3 months ago, something like that?
Cattleman.
Cattleman, is it? I tried to contact her to see if she would speak to me for an article I wanted to do. Anyway, I never was able to reach her, and I understand that she had dropped out as one of the main organizers of that event anyway. So I guess I would just like to find out who should I speak to, from anybody on the call that knows, who would speak to me that would give me the overview on this campaign so that I could write an article about it.
Mike Figa is still willing to talk to people about it, still involved. He sort of stepped back, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Ted Walter is the key person under Richard.
Yeah, Ted, I agree with Barbara. Ted Walter seems to be the mainspring now, and I can just give you his email address, Craig. I just don't have it in front of me. I can just email it to you.
Okay, yeah, I can.
Before I go to bed. Yeah.
Okay. Terrific. That's all I have.
I'm glad to thank everybody. So we caught a whale and a minnow and two trout and a halibut.
And an old Q.
Actually, I would like to say that hats off to Ken for managing to keep this all straight. I don't know how you did that, because it's easily the most involved in terms of procedure of any conference call that I've ever been on. So that was a hell of a job. And,
as they say in parliaments, hear, hear.
Thanks for the patience of everybody on the call for sticking it out to the end. We don't normally go this long or anywhere close to this long, so it's really been trying in that regard. But in other regards, I think everybody was very democratically oriented tonight. It worked pretty well.
Ken, do we get the right, those of us still on the line, to call ourselves the Rotten Core?
Yeah, sure.
The Rotten Core, who we're chasing, Barry.
So I guess we'll be meeting again not until after the anniversary of 9/11. So
yeah.
Hopefully everybody has something to do and something to report back on.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be interesting. Yeah.
Go for it, everybody. Have a good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, amen to that.
Bye.